Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have a twofer for the people, sending you into Thanksgiving break. Frank Gore in studio and the Bella Twins in studio. And we're going to break up the show for all of the people who have to work on a Friday. We feel bad for you, so we're going to do Thanksgiving preview, and then we will take Frank Gore, and then after that will be the weekend preview. So nice little segmented for you. We also have Hot Seat, Cool Throne, little Monday Night Football recap, and college football talk. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Hey!
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Tostitos. Go to Tostitos.com/Romo and enter for a chance to win Romo in your ear. Today is Wednesday, November 24th, and I am thankful for you guys and our friendships.
I'm very thankful, and what I'm especially thankful for is it seems like we've turned the corner after last Sunday's debacle, where we really were, we had the old Mexican standoff.
Hank apologized to me.
That's big of him.
He did.
Yeah, I mean, I slept on it. I slept on it. It was more just in the moment. I was upset, not really at you guys, but I was mad, and you guys kind of got in my crosshair, and
so I snapped. Personally.
But
I
wasn't.
I understand that I was talk with JFK.
I was in the wrong, and I shouldn't have been business. As crabby as I was.
Nothing personal.
Yeah,
but you did mush me. But it's all right.
We're good now, though. That's the most important part. Is we're okay now, and as Martin Luther King said, quoting Aaron Rodgers, we must learn to live together as friends or we will perish together as fools.
Ooh, okay. So
thought that
we're
was
good.
Coach Boone in Remember the Titans.
It was.
Great movie.
Yes, it's a great movie. Remember when you saw that?
Like
a decade
last
later?
Week?
Yeah. All right, so it is Thanksgiving. It is football time. It is, we had Monday Night Football, so we're going to break up the show here. We have Frank Gore coming up. We're going to do a Thanksgiving preview. We have Frank Gore, and then we will do the weekend preview and the Bella Twins. So if you have to work on Friday, first, quit your job. We say that every year. Quit your job. It is unconscionable for a boss to make someone work on Friday.
The only job that you should work on this Friday would be if you're selling Christmas trees.
Or a first responder.
Yes. You're doing the public a good. You're performing valuable service. You're saving lives and providing people's homes with better smells.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, just quit.
Quit.
Actually,
or just say you're sick.
Blanket statement, if you work at a big box retailer and you have to go in on Thanksgiving, you will never regret quitting that job. You will look back in years and be
yes.
like, that was awesome that I quit the day before Thanksgiving and left my manager in a shitty spot.
Yes, unless, of course, you have a job where they're like letting you pick day after Thanksgiving or some other day, and it's like, no one's going to be here. I'm going to go and fuck around. I can kind of see that world, but also quit. All right. Monday Night Football happened. The Giants are dead. Jason Garrett got fired. Daniel Dimes, not so much. And the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks are going to do what we all kind of expected. They're going to round into form, figure it out. It was kind of an unremarkable game. It was like
the
Bucks went down the field in the first drive, which was just precision offense, and then there was a fat guy touchdown, and then the game was over.
Well,
and then you like blinked and the game was over.
Daniel Jones had maybe the worst interception of the year where
he
practically threw it to a guy, a fat guy who was already laying down.
Yes.
And that was it was a doy-doy play
mm-hmm.
by Daniel Jones. And then the fat guy touchdown was obviously awesome. I actually think that Peyton Manning got Jason Garrett fired today. Because when Peyton Manning predicted that call, that play call on fourth and short, I think that was like the third quarter, and he's like, they're going to do the fake handoff Daniel Jones run option right now. And then they did it, and Peyton Manning just like buried his head in his hands. And then Eli was like, well, if you saw it coming and the defense saw it coming, that's not a good sign.
Yes.
I guarantee you Gettleman watched that, was like, fuck, I can't have Peyton Manning predicting my calls.
Yeah, it's not good. It wasn't good for Jason Garrett. It's not good for the Giants. The Giants are in prime spot, though, to win a few games down the stretch and have everyone be like, they're building something, even though they're probably not.
I don't know. I think if you're the Giants, they're probably going to go two offensive linemen in the first round. They have two first-round picks, right?
Where'd the other one come from?
I'm pretty sure they have two first-round picks.
Oh,
that's the one that, yeah, Pro Football Focus was like, we have them taking two offensive linemen in the first round, and we give them a C in our preemptive draft.
They have the Bears pick.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's right. You totally forgot. You forgot every show.
Also, one other thing, Hank, would you like to defend your man's Tom Brady going studs up on that slide in the first quarter? That's the second time I've seen Tom Brady do this. He likes to execute these like late challenges, these high slide tackles.
I mean, he's a competitive guy.
It was a funny slide. He started the slide from like three zip codes over. He's just like, I'm really going to slide.
Mm-hmm.
He was running around. By the way, I do have a note. Who tweeted Thick Six from the Pardon My Take account?
Wait, let me guess.
We're not doing that.
I
just want to say that right now.
Jake.
We're not doing that. Might have been memes. That's okay. We're not doing that. Fat guy touchdown is great. Fat guy touchdown plays. It says it. It's a fat guy touchdown.
Yeah, but does it rhyme?
No, but we're not doing the cutesy thick six thing. We can't do that.
The thick six belongs to guys who are thick to say. Like, it belongs to the Mike Golic Juniors and the Jeff Schwartzes of Twitter. They're the ones that like started that one. I still enjoy calling them fat.
Yeah, it's not broke. Fat guy touchdown. That's not broke. Like, when you say fat guy touchdown, you're like, oh, I want to watch this. This is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thick six, we're not doing that.
I do think that fat guy touchdown should be worth more points.
Yes, absolutely.
If you're above 300 pounds, it's worth 8 points.
Something you're so passionate
about.
This is the first feedback you've given in years.
The only like remarkable thing from the game was fat guy touchdown. And I saw Memes does a great job, so it's not like he's actually in trouble. I'm just saying we're not doing thick six.
I think what happened.
Fat guy touchdown is a perfect description of a fat guy scoring a touchdown.
I think what happened was Big Cat saw like Jeff Schwartz tweet it. And then Gojo replied to it with thick six, and then saw it like retweeted by Cole Kubelik. All three guys that we like, but then Big Cat was like, we can't. That's their thing.
No, I actually literally said fat guy touchdown. Then I saw our account tweet thick six, and I was like, wait, why are we calling it anything besides fat guy touchdown?
But you wouldn't want the account to just steal your tweet.
No, but that doesn't matter. I'm telling you how it went down. I didn't see anyone else. I saw us tweet it.
Okay.
And I was like, we got to keep calling it fat guy touchdown because that's what it is.
You know what? We're just stealing Joe Thomas's meme.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah. I actually don't know. Is it something that a lot of people tweet? That was the first time I'd seen it.
I think they've been in Congress about it, and they've discussed it. Next time that there's a primetime fat guy touchdown, we're changing the narrative.
You saw a lot of people tweet it.
It was all over the timeline.
Okay. All right. So we're not. Yeah. Fat guy touchdown. It's the perfect thing. Fat guy scoring touchdowns is awesome. Mm-hmm. Always. Also, thick six, you'd think that it would be an interception.
Right. It would be, yeah.
It makes no sense.
It can't be any offensive lineman touchdown. You're clouding the
water.
Maybe
a defensive lineman interception for a touchdown.
That could be a thick six. I'd be okay with that. I'd still probably go fat guy touchdown. But, yeah, that would at least make sense.
All right.
What about...
This is how good the game was. This is what the debate is now.
What about a swole touchdown? You call it an STD.
Okay.
That's more if you're just jacked.
We'll workshop that, yeah.
When DK scores.
We're looking at Mike Golic Jr. as potentially the creator.
He's of the thick six?
Yeah.
Okay.
So credit to him.
As Billy would say, just Google thick six intellectual property, and the Google result will show you who invented it.
Yes. But yeah, the game was very, like, it was just not a very good game, right? Because it was, the Bucks were in control the whole time. The Giants, to have a good game, the Giants had to have that spunk to them, and they just didn't have it last night. And, who came in for the Bucks? Who's their backup?
Blaine Gabbert.
He came in at the end. He came in with like 6 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
So
the other note that I had about the game was I love those Giants throwback uniforms.
Yes.
I love the
ultras. Incredible.
But I feel like they always suck in them. So I don't know. You're in a tough situation. You're in a tough situation if you're a Giants fan, because literally everyone loves. I think even Giants fans like those uniforms, but I don't recall seeing them ever win while they wear them.
Yeah, they are very, very good. I mean, they also have lost a lot in the last 5 years.
That's true.
You think I was saying this last night, and Billy and the New York guys were getting mad at me, but this is a serious question. As long as we've been in New York, they've always been terrible. If they combine teams, would the Jets and Giants be a good, like, top half of the team NFL team?
Billy,
if you include the Bills as a New York team.
Okay, well, that's
three teams. Yeah.
Billy's right. If you did the whole AFC North as one team, the Bears would be awesome.
We're combining New Jersey teams.
Yeah.
Could New Jersey put together a team that could compete? Who's their quarterback? Flacco?
It's brutal. I think it's Danny Dimes, and yeah, I don't know if they would.
Probably not.
They would make the playoffs. I don't think they would compete for. Yeah, they would make the playoffs.
I think they would have about the exact same records.
No, they would definitely make the playoffs. If you just cut, yes, because if you add 100 guys that make a NFL roster together and just pick the best 53 of them, they would make the playoffs.
I think it depends on what uniforms they would end up wearing. If they get to wear the Giants uniforms, I think they make the playoffs. If they wear the Jets, yeah, I don't think they do.
They don't. And maybe Rex Ryan gets to coach them. All right, so college football, rivalry week. We have we're taping this before they announce the college football seeding. I think we all probably expect what's going to happen. It's going to be Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, maybe Ohio State too. I don't know where they end up putting them. Cincinnati, Michigan. Everything will get figured out. Cincinnati, just so we're clear, because I know this is going to happen, if Cincinnati makes the playoff, people are going to be like, well, you owe Kirk Herbstreit a dinner. We owe him a dinner if what happens, which I still do not think is going to happen, if a Power 5 one-loss team gets jumped by Cincinnati, and mm-hmm. I still don't think that's going to happen. I think if Oklahoma State wins out and Ohio State wins out and Bama beats Georgia, Cincinnati will be fucked. But that's a lot of stuff. So as of right now, I think Cincinnati will find a way to get in.
I think Cincinnati's going to end up getting...
But no steak dinner.
They're going to end up getting jumped anyways, I think. If you were to like really look at how it's going to shake out in the last couple weeks, I think that the committee does not want Cincinnati in the playoff. I'm not saying that they're right. I would like to see Cincinnati in the playoff just to see what the hell happens when you have a group of five team in there. But I think the committee's got other plans. I also am very much looking forward to this year's Egg Bowl.
Yes.
Because we've got a storyline unlike any other going into it. The Ole Miss kicker has been suspended for using steroids going into the game, which is the perfect narrative going into it. Something fucked up always happens in Ole Miss, Mississippi State.
And Lane Kiffin said that you shouldn't hate your rival just because of what school they go to. Sounded, I don't know if he's already got his Florida hat on.
No, that's rat poison.
Yeah.
He's giving him rat poison.
Cincinnati, though, will get in if they, like, unless that chaos that I just said happens, they will get in. Like, they are now set up. They have to still beat Houston. Shout out Houston. Shout out Coach Dana. They are set up because the Pac-12 has cannibalized itself and the ACC has cannibalized itself, and there's no good team in either of those conferences that could make it. So they are set up to finally make the playoff, crash the playoff if they win out.
Justice for UTSA.
Yeah, justice for UTSA. Although that was a crazy ending, the way they won that game.
It was stupid.
It was crazy. But yeah, I do think as we sit here right now, I think Cincinnati will find a way to get in, because I don't see Bama beating Georgia, Ohio State winning out, and Oklahoma State winning out, all three of those things happen. Mostly just Bama beating Georgia.
On the coaching search front, I've seen some evidence that the Virginia Tech plane was in Lynchburg, Virginia, home of Liberty University.
Oh, wow.
And I also heard that Hugh Freeze did a little secret meeting with them, and he was the one that actually got on that plane and flew back to Blacksburg with Virginia Tech. That would be a hilarious combination.
Yes.
He knows the area. Get him. I would love to see Hugh Freeze at a big program again.
Yes.
Absolutely love it.
He definitely will get another shot, because the guy can coach, the guy can recruit.
And he's entertaining.
Illegally.
Yeah.
The coaching carousel is going to be awesome to watch, because Dan Mullen getting fired, which I kind of expected. I think everyone who was watching the situation expected, because Florida is a complete dumpster fire. It also speaks to how awesome the SEC is, that like you can't have one bad year in the SEC if you're one of the top programs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Right. He went to the SEC championship game last year. He had a bad. He lost to Missouri. It's also there's like a list. We should get a finite list of teams that you can't lose to if you're an SEC power. And then if you knock like you can't lose to South Carolina when they're rebuilding. They did that. And then when they lost to Missouri, it's like, well, you really can't lose to Missouri here.
No, Vanderbilt. Like we were saying with the Kansas thing in the Big 12. Yeah. If you lose to Kansas, you're probably going to get fired. Doesn't matter what else you do.
Which Texas, by the way, has not won since PFT said they might sneak in the playoffs.
That's a fact. I had a thought yesterday, and it's going to make so many people mad, but I think it's a legitimate question to ask. So if you're a Texas fan, I'm warning you, turn your radio off. Okay. If you're an A&M fan, turn your radio up because it's going to make you smile. If you're Texas, you definitely still – you regret for the first time in probably like 8 years firing Mack Brown. You wish that Mack Brown had stuck around.
I'll go one further. If you're Texas, you regret firing Tom Herman.
No. Yes. I don't think so.
Yes.
I don't think so because he had a couple years. He had a couple years to put his Herman stink on the program.
Go to the Big 12 championship game last year? And they haven't beaten anyone this year? They've lost 7 in a row and lost to Kansas? Like, I think that's how bad it's gotten in Texas, that there's definitely Texas fans that are like, wait, did we make a mistake here by firing Tom Herman? Even if we thought it was really bad then, it's way worse now.
Well, he also had first-round talent, Sam Ellinger, at quarterback.
Yes.
And Sarkisian doesn't have that right now. I think that most Texas fans, they are looking at Sark as being like 2-3-year project because he's got to get recruiting, he's got to do all that stuff. Herman was like, okay, we gave him enough time. We figured out it's not going to work. It's not going to fit for what we want to do. So we'll move on from Herman. But if you look at the big picture, damn, Mack Brown's looking pretty good to you right now. And Mack Brown was the only person in like the last, certainly like the last 25 years that could really handle the Texas side of Texas when it comes to managing the boosters, glad handing everyone. Miss Sally's out here shaking everyone's hand. Mack Brown was as good as it was going to get for Texas. And then everybody else, they've just been trying to like chase that.
Tom Herman, they didn't go to the Big 12 championship game last year, but they were tied for third, and they were the 19th team in the country. And now they're a complete dumpster fire that's completely bottomed out.
So, it's rebuilding year.
I think there's definitely some Texas fans that are like, did we fuck up firing Tom Herman? Because, man, this is bad.
I think the fuck up is moving on from Mack Brown.
Yeah, but that's a long time ago. Like, that's probably, there's been probably many years where they've been like, we messed up with that. Like, all the iterations of Texas coaches.
No, because I don't think they've ever truly admitted that that was a mistake. Because at the time when Mack Brown got fired, or when they mutually decided to part ways, everybody was kind of in agreement that, yeah, Mack just kind of got lazy, stopped recruiting. The program's tanked at this point. And then ever since then, they've had a lot of big-name hires, or hires that were supposed to be the next guy, the guy that was going to get them back to the place. So they've been looking forward. Now you have to think, like, damn, Mack Brown was pretty good while he was here.
I'm telling you, Tom Herman was pretty good when he was here. Tom Herman went he went well over 500, won a big bowl game, the Texas is back bowl. That thing is a mess. It'll be interesting to see the coaching carousel. Like, it's very rare that all three top 10 jobs are open in Florida, USC, and LSU. So it's gonna be fun to watch coaches squirm, big time coaches squirm.
I'm trying and failing to think of a more hilarious situation than Jason Garrett ending up at LSU. That would be very funny see him try to fit into that culture.
Yeah.
Like, hey, can I have a fork for all these miniature spicy lobsters that you're serving me?
I just want Urban Meyer to go back to Florida or go to USC. It would just be fun. It'd be fun to see.
Do you think Urban could coach the Jaguars and the Gators at the same time?
Yes.
I think he'd probably be a better coach.
Absolutely.
Better NFL coach if he had, like, other shit that he had to take care of.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, keep himself extra busy. All right, so we'll see how rivalry week goes. I'm very, very excited. Oh, one last thing. If you're a superstitious person, if you believe in these type of things, Milton Andrew Munson Jr., who passed away a couple days ago, 73 years old, his obituary, he said, in lieu of flowers, please place an irresponsibly large wager on Nebraska beating Iowa. So I will be placing a wager on Nebraska. You have to. For a dead guy, you have to.
I like that. It's a nice change of pace from the old obituaries that you always see where it's like, I don't know, a Browns fan that dies.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, they requested that the pallbearers be offensive lineman on the Cleveland Browns so he can let him down one last time.
No, this
I'm
guy,
sick of that. That's plagiarism at this point. If you're plagiarizing from beyond the grave, I got no time for you. This guy, I appreciate the fact that his family, I don't even think it was this guy's idea. I think his family was just like, he would have liked this very much. Put a big bet on Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. He in his obituary, it says, around the time the Huskers were jobbed by the refs against Penn State in 1982, the effects of bipolar disorder and addiction began to take hold on Milt and would profoundly affect him for the rest of his life. So they really went in on the obituary.
So that's the complete opposite of it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah, and it's also just the complete opposite of like the cliche, the Brown, like, no, this Nebraska had a tremendous negative impact on his life at certain points.
Nebraska
also positive in the 90s.
Nebraska killed him though.
Yes.
Do you think that Milt, if he can see his obituary right now, it'd be very funny if he was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't even really like football that much.
Yeah, what the hell?
I think the football guy is the person that wrote the obituary for his dead relative, actually.
Yes, I'd agree. All right, let's do some Thanksgiving.
Oh, one last thing.
Yeah.
Bedlam.
Yeah.
Bedlam's fucking awesome. Tell me, everybody tune in, watch Bedlam, and tell me that sky is not the darkest sky that you've ever seen in your life.
It's going to be the first Bedlam I don't take the over in probably in my entire life.
I'm going to say fuck it and take the over anyways because it's Bedlam.
Oklahoma State's defense is very good.
I know, but neon black, baby.
Yeah, so it will be, I'm excited for all the games. Very great slate of college football games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All right, let's talk Thanksgiving, though. Thanksgiving Day. The Bears and the Lions, Tim Boyle versus Andy Dalton, official. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
No, I've changed my mind about it. It's hilarious enough to the point where I like the fact that it's Andy Dalton and Tim Boyle.
Here's what I'll say. Let's do some perspective because you would think like this is going to be the worst game ever. If we have maybe younger audience, they don't remember that in 2004, the Bears played on Thanksgiving Day against the Cowboys. That actually might have been the worst game ever. I'd actually like to see 30 for 30 done on this game because it had four quarterbacks. Can you name any of the four quarterbacks that played in this game?
2004?
Two and two. Two for the Bears, two for the Cowboys.
Orton.
Nope.
Am I too early for Orton?
Yes. It was Jonathan Quinn and Craig Krenzel on the Bears. Drew Henson and Vinny Testaverde on the Cowboys. This game was so bad, that it featured four quarterbacks and three of the quarterbacks. That was the last time they played an NFL game. They threw a pass in the NFL game.
It was just agreed upon that, we're not going to do this
again.
We're done.
So just remember, there's 19 punts in the game.
Okay.
19 punts.
Uh-huh.
Three for 27 on third down. People should watch the YouTube of that game to remind yourself that it can't be that bad.
Was Bill Parcells coaching?
Yes.
At that point, that was like his first year?
Yes, it was so bad. So this one's going to be bad, but it can't be that bad.
All right, I think we need to have an honest conversation as a nation about Tim Boyle.
Mm.
What the fuck is Tim Boyle? Why is Tim Boyle in the NFL? And if you're Tim Boyle, please don't. I'm sorry, but I'm doing my job as a sports analyst on this. Why is he in the NFL?
Well,
have we figured out? Because he wasn't even good at UConn.
No.
He actually sucked at UConn.
Right.
And then he transferred to Eastern Kentucky and had a breakout season his senior year where he threw for 11 touchdowns and 13 interceptions.
Yes.
After sucking at UConn, he sucked at Eastern Kentucky.
Yes.
And now we've just agreed that he's going to be an NFL quarterback?
Well, he has what some people would refer to as good in the room qualities. I think that's got to be the only thing that it's you know, Chase Daniel was actually good at Missouri, but there are certain guys who stick around long enough because everyone just kind of likes them, and they're non-threatening. Like, Tim Boyle is non-threatening in a quarterback room, and he's a good guy, and everyone looks at him and is like, hey, there's Tim Boyle. But it does make no sense.
Do you know that Tim Boyle's a good guy?
That has to be the only reason. There's no other explanation.
Unless he has blackmail on somebody.
But it would have to be two different teams.
That's true.
Because, like, make sense if he had blackmail on one team and was on that team, and we all were just like, oh, that's weird, Tim Boyle. But he was on the Packers, And now he's on the Lions, and Tim Boyle, what, I mean, it, they should write a movie on Tim Boyle.
It's incredible. Hollywood would throw you out if you brought this script to them.
We had this argument with Dion on the Pro Football Football Show because we were like, Tim Boyle, like, sucked at UConn. How is he in the NFL? And Dion was like, well, everyone in the NFL is good. And we're like, no, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think Tim Boyle's good.
Tim Boyle's not good.
No.
Spoiler alert for the Pro Football Football Show.
There it is. Yes.
He stunk at UConn. He was, like, really, really bad at a really, really bad school playing against other really, really bad opponents.
Tim Boyle.
And now he's in the NFL.
Yep. Yeah.
Tim Boyle.
Tim Boyle. He's probably got some measurables we don't know about.
Well, okay. Let's be fair. He's 6'4".
Yeah.
He's 232.
Probably can throw the ball very far.
He looks good coming off the bus.
Yes.
On the Bears side of things, Big Cat.
Yeah.
The Bears are actually doing us a favor by not firing Matt Nagy ahead of this game.
Yes.
Because
the report is that he's fired after this game, which, again, is just, I don't know. It's a weird, weird thing that's going around.
I don't
right
even
now
think that the report's right.
No,
I,
well, yeah. It's who he fires someone and doesn't fire them?
Either that or Matt Nagy could just, I could see him crying.
Yeah.
And crying his job back.
Yes.
He could definitely pull one of those moves. Chuck Pagano did that, right?
Yes, he
just
did.
Just cried with Jim Irsay
for a while.
He
cried his way back, yes.
I could see Nagy just definitely just...
And Doug.
Oh, yeah, Doug Marone. Peter. Doug Marone,
no,
I mean,
no,
yeah,
no. That was all speculation on our part.
He kind of said he kind of said it got
I
emotional.
Think we kind of like, we fed him that. We're like, just say that you cried. And he
I
was
cried
like, it. Sure, yeah, whatever you weirdos
team
want. He's from the Bronx, dude. He fights. He doesn't
That's
cry.
True. He would take down Jalen Ramsey.
I think that... They're doing us a favor by not firing Matt Nagy because they would have given the team insane interim energy.
Yeah.
And then they would have beaten the Lions. As it stands now, after all that shit that I talked about Tim Boyle, I'm going to bet on the Lions.
Dude.
Money line. I'm betting on Tim Boyle.
The Bears,
the worst quarterback maybe ever to play in the NFL.
The Bears shouldn't be favored over anyone. It's crazy. Like, I know the Lions don't have a win, but the Bears are 4-point favorites over the Lions. Like, the Bears, everyone is either injured or hates Matt Nagy and has quit. And now Andy Dalton's going to go out there, and it's going to be just a god-awful game. Also, just a side note, I think you guys saw the Fire Nagy chants have been going around Chicago. There was one at Nagy's son's high school game. And
I don't like that.
Okay, but here's
what... These guys have families.
Yeah, this is the best part. Now, I'm not going to tell, like, high school kids are going to be mean no matter what, right? Like, it's crazy to sit on a pedestal and be like, I can't believe these high school kids. How could they do this? I also think it's very funny. It sucks for the kid. It sucks. I wish that hadn't happened. It sucks. But it's very funny to see a lot of people on Twitter be like, there's a time and place, like Twitter, where I say the really mean things about Matt Nagy and his sons who are in high school can most likely read.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be such a hypocrite to be like, how could you possibly do that? Their sons can watch this podcast
well,
where I've said very mean things about Matt Nagy.
The difference is, like, it would be like you adding his sons on Twitter.
Of course.
Where you go to their game and you scream it at the kids on the field. Like, you're not saying that to start
right
a conversation
yeah,
or get
yeah
the debate going. You're not calling up like your favorite drive time host on Chicago Sports Radio. You're actually like telling his son
yes
that, which
shouldn't do.
But it's also in the First Amendment that you're allowed to.
Shouldn't do. But it's just funny to me to be like, there's a time and place. And some of the people saying there's a time and place have also said some shitty things about Matt Nagy or been like, fire him. He needs to mm-hmm be fired. I'm just not going to be a hypocrite here. You shouldn't do it there, but I also am not going to be like, damn, I can't believe these kids. How dare they? They're fucking high school kids. They're mean.
Do you think that at some point, if somebody's like chanting at you that your dad sucks at his job, eventually you'll be like, dad, you suck at your job. You should be fired. You think they
probably
can be turned against their own dad?
Yeah, probably like, well, if you watched his offense enough.
Yeah. I bet you that the kids' offense in high school is more creative than what the Bears are putting out there.
Yes, absolutely.
What the big question is, was Matt Nagy at the game?
I think he was. Maybe not. I don't know, actually. I can't confirm or deny. Either way, it's a weird situation. He knows he's fired. Everyone knows he's fired. It's whether a question that it's going to be right after this game or at the end of the season. I probably lean towards the end of the season because the Bears never fired anyone in season.
Mm.
But, yeah, the Bears are a dumpster fire. This game, I apologize to America.
No, I'm okay with it again.
Okay,
it's gotten
good
so bad that, and I followed my own advice where I picked up a bunch of really shitty players in fantasy football. So now I forced myself to care about the game. So
I love it.
So I have an excuse to be like, no,
it.
Listen, I really got to watch this Bears-Lions game.
Yes.
It means a lot to me personally.
All right, so should we do, we're going to do, how we're going to do our picks right now is we're going to do one pick for Thanksgiving Day, and then we'll do our four picks after Frank Gore interview. So, Hank, why don't you start one pick? Yeah, we
Wait,
always
so
start
we're
with
adding
you. Yeah, we're adding, there's a fifth pick. It can be anything you want. It can be an over, an under, a favorite.
Got it.
And we can talk about all three games.
The turkey pick.
The turkey pick.
What's your turkey pick, Hank?
What's your turkey pick, Hank? And a side.
Obama.
Like. And a side. We should debate sides.
I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills -5.5.
Whoa.
I think you said this on Advisors, but I was watching that earlier. Loser leaves town game. The Bills have to win this game.
It is.
They have to win this game. Trevor Siemian is just not good.
No. Just not good.
So if this was 3 weeks ago, I feel like the spread would have been like 11.
This is smart. This
the
is
Bills
thinking.
Have kind of come back to earth, but yep. I still think this is their get right game. If they're gonna, you know, I mean, if they're gonna make a run, they have to win this game, and they have to dominate.
Taysom Hill, fresh off a brand new contract,
yes,
again.
I was so confused about that.
It makes no sense.
I had to like, I thought I was having a stroke.
So the only team,
am I on Twitter 2 years ago?
The only team that does this is the Saints, and it's because if anything weird is happening in contract situations in New Orleans, it's because Sean Payton just wants to get his guys paid.
Yes.
And so he'll just restructure a contract and give somebody a crazy big number that it looks like so that they can get more money up front, because Sean Payton just loves taking money from the owners of the team and transferring it to his players.
Yes.
And that's why players love him and want to keep playing with him, because he'll go out of his way to make sure that you get paid.
Also, maybe he did it because he's like, I'm never going to start you, but I'm going to keep paying you like a starter. Just so that we can be friends.
Yeah, it's like
my little gadget boy.
Well, it's like at the start of the pandemic when we all paid our dog walkers.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah, so even though we don't need your services right now, we want to make sure that you're still happy because we're good people.
Yeah, right. Sean Payton, good guy of the year award. All right, so you're taking the Bills.
I am taking the Bills.
All right.
-5.5.
Of all these choices, and you take a favorite, interesting.
Did we change Hank?
He's about to switch.
No, I can't. I mean, I can't. The Lions, like, if it was Jared, that would be the easiest bet in the world, although they'd probably be favorites.
You're not a Tim Boyle guy?
Not a Tim Boyle guy at all. Raiders are bad. And the Raiders, it's like, eh.
Okay.
I don't know. The Bills is the clear pick out of those, in my opinion. IMHO.
That game, yeah. It is a loser leaves town. It feels like whoever loses that game, mm-hmm. we're going to feel very, very bad about. Liam.
I'm going to take the over in that game.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Overs Club.
Yeah.
Go to the Barstool Sportsbook.
One for the Overs Club, and two, I feel like the Bills are just due for like a breakout game.
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
Yes. All right. Go to the Barstool Sportsbook. Bet $250. You get the best Overs Club. Under exclusive, you get the best Overs Club jacket we've ever had. It's a starter jacket. It's awesome. PFT.
You're going to be drunk after Thanksgiving. Points. Mm-hmm. Just sitting on the couch
points,
and just.
Points.
Chaos.
I'm taking Tim Boyle.
Yeah.
I'm taking Tim Boyle.
Three?
I have to take Tim Boyle. In all likelihood,
Three.
I'm never going to get a chance to bet on Tim Boyle again.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to bet against the Bears, but I'm also going to take Tim Boyle. I'm going to take the over 41.5 in that game.
That's fucking crazy. No.
It's the dumbest pick I've ever made.
This game is going to be, here's my prediction for the final score. Expected points in this game. 13-4 is my final score.
I was just going to say, it's going to be one of those weird score games.
Yeah.
Nothing adds up.
What are those called when you have a score that's like you don't see ever?
We should see if it's copyrighted.
It's a rare score. Yeah, I'm going to take Tim Boyle. I have no choice but to take. I'm going to be a Boilermaker. And he did an interview and he said, I've been in the NFL for 4 years now. I'm not a rookie. It's my first.
Okay, are you telling us or are you asking us?
No, he's just saying I'm not a rookie. Everyone stop calling me a rookie. I've been around for 4 years.
Tim Boyle.
And he appreciates that Dan Campbell is giving him an opportunity. He said whatever he calls, it's going to be great.
Oh, man.
We've got some awesome chemistry going on between Dan Campbell and Tim Boyle. I just want to see Dan get his first win.
On Thanksgiving.
That's really, I'm betting with my heart, not my brain.
I have nothing left in this game because Justin Fields isn't even playing. So the goal of like watching him progress is gone. And I want Matt Nagy fired. And it would be great if, I don't know. This game is good. I'm taking the over. It's the dumbest pick I've ever made in my life. But wouldn't it be cool if it was a Tim Boyle, Andy Dalton shootout?
It would be very
Imagine
cool.
if both of them threw four touchdown passes.
It'd be very cool.
Or three pick sixes each. You got your over.
There we go, Jake.
More realistic.
That's positive vibes. Yeah. All right, Billy, what's your pick?
I'm also on that.
Okay. Let's go. Let's ride together, Billy.
Yeah, over.
Over 41 and a half Bears mm-hmm. Lions.
But that's your turkey pick. It doesn't count on the drive to the 405.
No, this does count. This does count.
We're doing yes. five official picks.
Yes, five official picks. This
I didn't
counts.
Know it was going to be official.
you still feel good about Tim Boyle?
No.
That's okay.
I feel great about Tim Boyle.
Yeah. I mean, I took the over. There's no dumber pick in the world than that.
I think I took Tim Boyle, and then you guys were like, fuck it, I'm not going to let you one-up me.
Yeah, I'm taking Tim Boyle to
You
do
wanna get
well.
Nuts? Let's get nuts.
All right. Bill, you sticking with it?
We're doing one Thanksgiving plus the usual four.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct.
Thanksgiving can be any category. Okay. I'm also with Liam for the overs club, 45 and a half.
All right. Bill says. And then we didn't talk about the Raiders-Cowboys. Weird kind of game because I don't know what to expect from the Raiders at this point in the season. And the Cowboys, like, they CD's out, I would assume, right?
I think so.
Is it Zeke?
If he's still concussed, he's going to be out. Zeke? I think, is nicked.
Okay.
I think he's... CD has cobwebs, Zeke is nicked.
And Amari's out.
Amari is has
out.
COVID.
COVID, yeah. So.
Not great.
No.
But, I mean, the Raiders looked pretty bad last
really
week.
Really bad. So, and the emotional bubble, like, has burst fully on the Rich Bisaccia days.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think that's done?
I think it might be done.
Yeah, I'm going to take Mike McCarthy on Thanksgiving. He's going to be hungry.
He'll be real hungry.
Real hungry.
Probably a couple... couple drumsticks hidden underneath his poncho.
I hope his stomach's mic'd up so you can just hear it growling all game.
let's make sure Mike gets some maybe halftime stuffing.
Jerry's going to be extra drunk. I think Jerry starts pouring the Johnny Walker Blue at about 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving.
I was going to say Tuesday.
Yeah, so he's definitely going to be lurking. He might even get down to the sidelines and just stand behind Mike McCarthy like he's going to assassinate him like in Warzone.
Yes.
That's my hope at least for this game. I'm going to bet on the Cowboys, I think, which makes me feel like kind of a sucker because 7.5 is a lot of points.
Big time sucker energy, and I agree. So mm-hmm. even bigger sucker energy.
Yep.
The fact that we are both going to do it.
Yep.
All right, let's do Hot Seat Cool Throw, and then let's get Frank Gore. Frank Gore was awesome in studio.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Thanksgiving. All right. Hot seat, cool throne, Hank.
My hot seat is the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So this is, I kind of alluded to it earlier, but it's something I have been thinking about more, just about how long we've lived in New York, which has been a while, and just
Too
how
long.
Bad all of the franchises are the entire time.
Decade. First decade, the Yankees have never won a World Series, and then also first decade that no, obviously these are correlated, no New York team franchise period won a championship.
Thanks a lot, de Blasio.
And it's like I personally, it's not even like I'm against New York. We live near the Garden, or we work near the Garden. It'd be sick if the Knicks, I mean, the Knicks are decent now, but it's fun when the Knicks are good. They haven't been good basically until last year. They made a little bit of a run. Rangers have never been good. And now the Devils, I kind of live over by where the Devils are, and they're terrible. They released jerseys today, like new jerseys, and you never want to do the thing where you release a jersey and the entire internet roasts you, and that's what happened. Apparently, Marty Brodeur designed them.
Marty?
Yeah.
Marty Brodeur did?
Marty Brodeur.
Martin Brodeur. Yeah, Marty.
It's also
what the guys call him.
It's also just weird to be
Marty?
Like, this is a New Jersey.
And it just says Jersey on it. The jerseys just say Jersey with like lines down the side. It's looks like the least designed jersey of all time.
When I looked at it, I thought that it was just labeling what it was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like, okay, this is not is not my warm-up.
Yeah, it was a template.
These are not my pajamas.
So they were getting roasted. The other person getting roasted on the internet was Kevin Durant. You see the picture of his legs?
Yeah, but disagree.
That was tough.
But Kevin Durant came back.
Yeah?
Because that guy was being goofy making fun of Kevin Durant's legs.
Who? Everyone was making fun of his legs.
The person who started, Patient Zero. I don't know who it was, but then Kevin Durant, I don't know if you saw this. This is why I fucking love Kevin Durant.
Yes, he did.
On Twitter, where we used to like think he was being too sensitive. Now it's just funny because he doesn't even bother with the burners anymore. He just says, I'm about to pull my y'all broke card in a second. Mm-hmm. Fuck y'all.
I love it.
I love it. And I hope that Adam Silver never tries to step in to be like, hey, guys, can you stop swearing so much online? Because, you know, the thoughts occurred to him.
Yeah.
But I think he's just going to get smacked if he tries to do it because the players run the NBA. Just let Kevin Durant just continue to fire on all cylinders on Twitter.
But I agree with you, PFT, that like the Kevin Durant could so easily just ignore this. Instead, he just subtweeted the entire internet.
Yeah.
The entire internet was subtweeted with that.
Y'all broke.
Y'all broke.
Fuck he did, y'all.
His ankles were, they could use some lotion.
Yeah, a little bit. My cool throne in the AWLs. Black Friday, if you're listening to this, it's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. Black Friday is Thanksgiving Eve, 12 o'clock. We have, like, I feel like the most new PMT merch we've ever really had on a Black Friday. There's a lot of new stuff. Get all your Christmas shopping done. We got ornaments, car stick ornaments, and I think we're bringing out the car sticks, a limited amount of them.
Ooh. Let's go.
Got a bunch of new hoodies.
Hank, I have a
bunch
question.
Of new hats.
I'm a new AWL.
Yeah, you are.
What is a car stick?
It's an invention I invented in 2016. It took a long time to develop the prototype of the stick. It takes a long time to build them. There's a lot of resources involved, a lot of manual labor. So we came out with like a few hundred a few years ago. We've been in the factories working. We've made another like few hundred. So we're going to put those on sale. Limited time only. If you want one, you got to get one. It's probably changed your life. That's what most people have said to me that have bought one. But
Hank, I have a question. What is a car stick?
It's a stick for your car for when it's stuck in the side of your seat.
Yeah? So, like...
Where in your seat?
Is it some kind of, like, crazy...
Like...
device you created?
I don't know if you heard this, Big Cat. They've been in the factories and the mines producing these nonstop the last
two
years.
We had to chop down the tree. We had to, you know, sand them out, make sure everything's
we
right.
We did. All of us did. Yes.
On the weekends. You get something stuck. I don't know if you can see me. You get something stuck in your seat. You just take this car stick. Mm-hmm. You put it down in the crack, and then you can... Like it's a hockey stick, you know?
Ooh.
Damn.
Do you have a patent for it?
Yeah, multiple.
That's awesome.
Good job, Hank.
For the bottom and the top.
One of the greatest inventions of all time.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of hard work goes into these. It's just fine piece of material. We also made mini car stick ornaments. So that's just one of the many things on sale, too.
Can you use like a mini car stick if you have a Power Wheels?
Ooh.
Yeah, you can.
Sick.
I like that, the mini car stick. Maybe also, if you have, or like you have something stuck in your pocket.
You can always call it travel size.
Yeah. Put these on a chain and wear it out.
Oh.
Could be useful.
Or earrings.
Yeah.
Very cool. I would say 100 out of 100 times you put that on your keys, someone's going to try to fuck you at a bar. They see that car stick?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I didn't know you got down.
Hank, it's basically a black card.
Yeah.
You're Hank, like, oh, oh that, my God.
Could that stick be used to... dip into a substance?
What, like Fun Dip?
Yeah, like Fun,
yeah, fun
dip.
Dip. Yeah, fun dip.
Yeah.
Dunkaroos. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's again, we have a lot of patents. There's a lot of uses for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So check them out.
It's
Black
really
Friday.
The Swiss Army knife.
Listen, I was trying to talk about the other merch. You guys got me going on car sticks. There's a lot of other good stuff, too.
I'll forever love the car stick.
The merch is so good. Three of us are currently wearing the exact same sweatshirt right
now.
Yeah. That's true.
Legends hoodie, pardon my take. My favorite hoodies, great hats, awesome stuff coming Black Friday, Cyber Monday. All right, PFT, your hot seat, cool throne.
And PFT's book.
Oh, and my book.
And
his
audio book.
The book is it's a lot of buzz out there about Goodell versus Obama right now. The boys are buzzing about it. Again, it's going to be on sale on Friday, right, Hank?
Yes.
Thursday night, midnight. We just finished the last edits on them. It was funny. Hank was texting me last night, and he was sending me messages from his iMessage. And for some reason, my phone thought that Hank was Roger Goodell.
Huh.
You know how like sometimes your phone will be like maybe and then who they think it is? I was getting texts from that said maybe from Roger Goodell. I was so excited. It was an honor. My hot seat is us.
Oh.
We're on the hot seat, boys, because we got nominated for an iHeart Radio Podcast Award.
Mm.
Did a little research on it because I recall being nominated for this every single year. Never recall winning one, and honestly, like, who cares? It's just basically a bunch of people jacking each other off in a room.
Yep.
And they always invite us to go, and we're like, no, thank you, that's okay. We don't need to be there. I did some research on it. We've been nominated more than any podcast in the history of this awards show, and we're the only one that hasn't won.
I love
it. By a wide margin. Like, I think we have three more nominations. They've only been doing this since like 2016,
yep.
2015. We have three more nominations than anybody else in any category, and we're the only one that hasn't won. Well, I hope that we...
But I bet you all the people that have won have been like, we're going to show up because they just want to... You know, stroke themselves off.
Oh,
I'm sure,
sure
if we said we're gonna go, we
would.
Oh,
yeah, every time they ask if we want to go, we're like, no, thank you.
We're like, fuck you.
Right.
We're actively like, suck my dick. No.
Yeah. Like, if we said yes, I bet you they would give it to us because we'd give a speech and shit.
Yes.
So I looked up what the other sports podcasts were that we're competing against this year. And it's, you know, some of the usuals that I think some of them have won in the past, but it's all people that, in my opinion, we should beat.
Right.
And then there's another one, which is a podcast, limited time run, about the importance of women in the Summer Olympics competing for Team USA and how courageous they've been. So we're fucked. So we're not winning again.
We're out.
So we're out again this year. So
good run, boys.
Maybe next year, iHeartRadio, if you guys are still a company.
Back-to-back Sweet 16 appearances.
We'll be around.
Yep.
We're really the Tom Izzo.
We're the Gonzaga. Never got to the Final Four.
That's right. Yeah. And then my Cool Throne, I'll just say, is Christmas trees. Cool Throne's Christmas trees. We're back, bitches. Fraser Furs on sale at your local Christmas tree lot. Go check it out. Consult your local Christmas tree salesman today. Get a Fraser Fur somewhere between 6 and 8 feet, depending on how tall your ceiling is. The Cadillac of Christmas trees. Enjoy. Best time of the year.
Okay, my hot seat is fashion, because Kyle Kuzma changed the world with his sweater on Monday night that took the internet by storm. If you didn't see it, just Google Kyle Kuzma sweater. It is... I think he's trolling because he seems like a guy with a good sense of humor, and I hope that more guys in the NBA do this because he gets everyone upset and everyone's like, it's gone too far. It was such a ridiculous garment of clothing. I loved it so, so much.
It worked.
Yeah.
We're talking about it right now.
Yes, yes. No, so
that's all he had to do.
It was one of those things that once it hit the internet, it's everyone talked about it, and it was just very, very funny.
Do you remember back in like 2017 when wearing those knit pussy hats was like a thing that people did all the time for some reason?
Yes.
It looked like he's wearing a giant knit pussy sweater.
Yeah, it's the Lenny Kravitz big scarf too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very fashionable. And then
JNCO sweater.
The most ridiculous part was he had these giant sleeves, and then at one point he had to use a door handle, which he had to take his hands out of those giant sleeves, and you could just tell he felt really good.
That's amazing.
You have to take your shirt off to open a door.
I love it. I love it. And then my Cool Throne is LeBron James, because he basically owns the NBA, which we already knew, but the fact that he got suspended one game for assault is fucking ridiculous.
And the other guy could spend it too.
Two.
And fine $900,000.
Listen.
That's not like...
Yeah,
obviously,
for that guy,
they get paid a lot of money, but $900,000 is a lot.
And I... Listen, I know I'm biased. LeBron haters. He looked him dead in the eye and then punched him in the face.
Yes.
Like, if you watch the replay, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Just think about if it was reversed.
Yeah. Good. Let's do a thought experiment.
If LeBron James got punched in the face.
And was bleeding like that.
Well, he'd still be on the ground.
True.
True. Good point.
He'd probably just pretend that he was dead. He'd fake his own death.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back 3 days later and be like, I'm back, guys, but it's now me, Ghost LeBron.
Look at me, Succession music. He'd be like, Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Dead King.
Yeah,
he would definitely pretend that he died and came back.
Yes, but that was... watching that replay is ridiculous.
They said he was washed, Dead King.
He's back. And then he would write a letter from Dead LeBron to Alive LeBron.
Alive LeBron.
Alive younger
Bet
LeBron.
Bet you never thought that you'd be able to come back from the dead.
Man, that was crazy. Just a kid from Akron, then you're dead.
A few weeks ago, I thought I was dead, and I was.
Mm-hmm. So, he should... If it was LeBron that got hit, you can rest assured that the other guy would be suspended for, like, 7-8 games. Maybe the rest
70?
Of the season.
Yeah.
I think it's just more outrageous that the other guy got suspended longer.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
At least give LeBron 3 games and the other guy 2 games.
Yes. Rice got suspended longer.
Disgusting.
Than LeBron.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Wow. Twice as long.
Yeah. That didn't actually work.
No, it didn't. It's actually the opposite.
It's the opposite. Whoops.
Yeah.
No, that guy got suspended as long as Rice.
Yeah, for getting hit in the face.
Yes, for getting hit in the face. That's bullshit.
Yep.
That's bullshit. All right, Billy.
My hot seat are fans. Seth Rollins was leaving the ring in a recent WWE match, and a fan out of nowhere just straight up speared him. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole scene. No one knew if it was, you know, actually included in WWE, but it was totally off script. Random fan just speared Seth Rollins. It's an insane video.
Sounds like a work.
It's impossible to know.
It's not.
Like, I
Yeah,
yeah, it's real. I think it was a fan actually acting rogue, but that's the beauty of wrestling. I watched it and was like, maybe that was all planned.
It's not wrestling, big guy. It's entertainment.
That's true.
And you're not allowed to use the W word.
Seth Rollins didn't break character. He actually started talking shit to the fan. It was actually crazy.
I say work.
I disagree, Billy. I think that he did break character. I think he got hit. He got knocked down. He was a little bit embarrassed because the dude ended up getting on top of him. And then the refs came in, beat the shit out of the guy, and kicked him off. Then Rollins stood up and was like, he was mad. He was like, he was triggered, is what he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, if it was a work, he definitely would have been cooler with how mad he was. Like, he would have had some cool things to say to the guy. He would have gestured more emphatically at him. But he was just, he was mad.
Yes, absolutely.
Guy came out of nowhere.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah, I watched it a million times, just couldn't figure it out. Could not figure it out. And then your cool throne.
My cool throne is Michael Strahan. He's going to space.
For real?
Just
or
like
just
the area tip. Between his front teeth.
Oh, there we go.
He's just the tip. Another fraud space flight by Blue, whatever.
So sick of it.
And then also there's amazing NIL commercials, so cool throne NIL commercials with Josh Pascal of Kentucky. Hilarious. Check it out. He's doing a dentist commercial, and it's amazing.
Okay. Jake.
My hot seat's the dollar store. They announced next year, majority of items, $1.25.
Whoa.
So the dollar store as you know it is done. Sad. Damn.
Inflation.
Are they allowed to keep the name?
It's still Dollar Tree, I think, but it should be $1.25 tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be. I've got an idea. Open a store right next to dollar stores called the dollar store, but sell things for a dollar.
75 cents.
Put them out of business.
Yeah.
Get the neighbors out.
I like that. And then cool throne, some things. Trey Mancini, comeback player of the year after beating cancer.
Yes.
Great way to send you into the holiday weekend.
He deserved
congrats,
that.
Jerry.
Big Ben didn't.
Big Ben?
No, I think
MLB.
Big Ben was up for that one too, right?
Don't they do it after the year?
I know. Someone sent me Big Ben post-COVID games, and he's like 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So I think probably has never had COVID.
Big Ben should be, like, forget about comeback player of the year. That's small potatoes. We're talking Walter Payton man of the year season for Big Ben this year. That would be incredible, wouldn't it? I actually think that if Big Ben wins Walter Payton Man of the Year, he's going to come back next year just so that he can play for a season with that with the silhouette, with the patch on his jersey, and so he can show his kids.
Yes.
Just please, let's get the conversation going. Big Ben hasn't been accused of sexual assault in like 9 years. What else do you want from the guy?
It's been a long time. All right, we're going to do Frank Gore. If you have to work on Friday, listen to Frank Gore and then stop. We will do our Sunday preview after that and then the Bella Twins to end the show. So we're leaving you a spot if you have to work on Friday. If not, just listen to the whole thing and wait to see how ridiculous our picks are going to be and how stupid we are. But before we get to Frank Gore, PFT, you had a quick word from one of our sponsors.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Here's Frank Gore.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest, future Hall of Famer.
Appreciate that.
Frank Gore.
Appreciate that.
I mean, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Thank you.
You better be.
Thank you.
You deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Put it out there. Tell him. I better be.
Yes. You better be in the Hall of Fame.
When I heard Chris Sims talking that bullshit.
Nah, that's my man right now.
I fired off some mean tweets.
What'd he say?
Nah, we talked about it. Okay. That's my man right now. We good.
So, you won a national championship. You were in the NFL for how many years was it officially? 14?
16 years.
16 years.
But you're not retired yet, right?
Not retired.
I'm not retired yet.
Boxing now.
Yep, boxing.
December 18th.
December 18th. Tampa. Be there. I'm starting the pay-per-view off me against Darren Williams. I'm excited about it. You know, I'm going trying to do my thing.
Now, is you're boxing a basketball player? Is there a level where you're like, I'm just way tougher than you because I've been through it?
I can't look at him just as a basketball player. even though, you know, he played there at a high level, he did a great job playing basketball, but you know, he also did MMA, and that's why when I'm training, I'm thinking about his MMA background. So I know he got some type of toughness in him, and I know he's gonna try to come bring it, and I got to be ready.
Just from my point of view, if you're a running back that's played so many seasons in the NFL, you know how to get hit. It's not gonna phase you.
But it's different
getting
though. Hit. It's different. You know, me playing NFL, that was my sport. So I know how to get away from hits. I know how to, you know, like, even when I'm in the holes, like running through the holes, like I know how to like maneuver and, you know, play off angles. And now, you know, it's a new sport I'm learning. And, you know, if he, you know, I got to see, you know, when he throw a 1-2, I got to be able to like shift it, you know, miss it, make him miss.
When was the last time you were actually in a fight?
Saturday. I was sparring Saturday. And it was, you know, some good sparring.
Okay.
So, you know, I'll be ready.
I mean, your toughness can never be questioned. So you hold the NFL record for most games played by a running back, which is incredible, especially in today's NFL. What, like, towards, now I don't know how to say this because you aren't officially retired.
Right.
The back half of your career, which maybe even hasn't even started yet, if you want to go from that, when we get to an NFL where it feels like the running back position is so interchangeable, but you like persist. What, I mean, how were you able to do that?
The love of loving the game. For me, working my behind off. For me, if I say I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna give it my all. And I didn't care like how old I was. You know, when they say, oh, you get 28, 29 as a running back, that's old. I never cared about that. So I always attacked my off-season workout, like I always attacked it when I first came in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was able to keep going.
Yeah. When they first announced that Derrick Henry was going to need foot surgery and that he was going to be out for a while, the very first thing I did was I said they should sign Frank Gore. Should be a Tennessee Titan right now. The NFL is more fun when you're in it, when you got Gore running through the backfield. Did Vrabel give you a call?
No, but I had like three teams who called. I just didn't want to do it at the time, mm-hmm. you know, but – I know I still can play the game. And I was just focusing on, you know, being around my kids, going to see my kids play football. And, you know, I just saw how much time I missed out of their life, you know. And I felt like, you know, I played 16 years. And I also started boxing, been around boxing. It kind of kept me okay, you know, like the competing and stuff. Uh-huh. So I was fine being around my kids, going to their practice, going to see my son play on Saturdays, and I was enjoying life.
Gotcha.
So you played for five different teams, a bunch of different coaches. Who was your favorite coach, and why was it Jim Harbaugh?
Well, I like all my coach.
But Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh was a – can you cuss here?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Say whatever the fuck you want.
Okay. Coach Harbaugh was a badass, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was – all about football. He ain't, if you're a pussy, he's not fucking with you.
Yeah, we're friends. We've had him on a bunch of times.
If you're a pussy, he's not fucking with
you.
Yeah,
he almost stopped fucking with us at his golf tournament because we weren't good enough at sports.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. If you got to be, good in sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not good in sports, he don't want to hear nothing from you.
Yeah.
Now,
you know what I'm saying?
So in the NFL though, there was always the thought that like Jim Harbaugh would burn guys out because of that mentality.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Because, you know, when he got there, we started winning games. We was like we was the badasses in the NFL when he got there. You know, so, you know, the way he was as a coach, you know what I'm saying, it rubbed off on us. You know, and it made the guys who I probably thought wasn't the badass, they became a badass. You know what I'm saying? Because they knew if you're not a badass, you won't be in our locker room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, Coach Harbaugh, he coming to the fight too. He called me last week to make sure I'm, you know.
Oh, hell yes.
He called me. Him and his dad coming.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
That's amazing.
In the audience.
Were you?
So I got to tell my boy Malky. I got to make sure Coach Harbaugh get taken care of.
Yes, mm-hmm. He's got to get taken care of. Yeah. He's got to be front row.
Yeah.
Were you on the field when he had his little do with Jim Schwartz?
Yeah, I was there.
That was one of my favorites, and that's I'm very good friends with Bobby Lang.
Okay.
Who used to be the PR guy for the Niners.
Well,
now
with
the Eagles.
He was the best.
He broke that thing up.
Oh, yeah,
but that was always Harbaugh. Like he's gonna. So you get in the locker room.
That's what I love about him.
Yeah. So you get in the locker room after that. Are you guys like, yo, coach, what the hell was that?
We like it. When you football players, you badasses. You know what I'm saying? And you see our head coach, and that's why we was badasses on the field. Like, we was like one of the toughest teams at that time. You know, we knew that going into the game, we were going out physical the next team, the other side of the ball. Like, bro, I remember one time in the playoff, we playing Carolina, and in the playoff when we played them there, 2013. Man, I mean, they came out fucking hitting. So we like, okay, they trying to match us. I say, but hey, they not like us, man. This is what we do. They trying to be us. So as the game kept going, we kept punching their ass in the mouth, and we fucking killed them.
And you could tell, like, could you tell the exact moment where it's like, no, they don't want this anymore?
Yeah. You know, they came out hyped up, you know, but, you know, we just kept being us, man. We punched their ass in the mouth. We fucking blew them out.
Mm-hmm. I love it. This is getting me fired up because there is something about a team when you're watching, is if you're rooting for a team that's just more physical than the opponent.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys would fuck up the Green Bay Packers in the playoffs. They those two butt whoopings.
But they wasn't physical enough.
I was going to ask you about that, because those two games, it was back-to-back years, right, when you had Cap playing quarterback?
We beat them. We beat them once. The first game, we beat them with Alex Smith up there the first game.
Yep.
We beat them. We fucking killed them.
Yeah.
And then the second, that one, Alex got hurt. That one, Cap came in, and we blew them in the playoff when they came to us. Then a year after we played in the first game, we blew them out again. It's just that the mindset we had, like, we just felt like nobody wasn't going to out be tougher than us. You know, we had good coaches. Mm-hmm. They did a great job by working together to put us in great situations. But our mindset come from Coach Harbaugh, how he was.
Yeah. In that last game where you guys really kicked the shit out of him, would that be more of a clowning, or would that be a whooping, or a whooping, or a beat down? What's the other option? We've been debating this on the show a lot.
What? Shit pumping.
Shit pumping. Is shit pumping, a clowning, a whooping?
Whooping.
That was a whooping?
That was a big time whooping.
You guys out-physicaled him for sure.
Yes.
One of my favorite things to do is to just look back and think back about some of the teams that you actually played on, the early 2000s University of Miami teams.
Oh, yeah.
And if you just look at the roster of
2001.
Guys.
2001.
Insane.
It is crazy. I actually think that...
That was one of the best team ever, man. I think, and that's why I say, like, that's when I tell people what helped me to be who I am and playing ball, going to University of Miami at that time, because, man, if you ain't on your shit, bro, you can get lost in the system, because everybody good there. And I'm saying, like, you had to go to class, you had to fucking be a workout on time. Practice, man, everybody, hey, if you're not, man, you're going to get knocked out there. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Sean T, you got Vince Wilfork, you got Vima, you got DJ Williams. Bro, my freshman year, when we played other opponents, I thought college football was easy.
Yeah.
Because the game felt so slow, bro. It was so slow because practice was so fast. Like, bro, I remember when I first signed there, and, you know, you go there in the summertime, and we doing drills. I mean, fuck, God bless his soul, I'm going against Chris Campbell, God bless him. We doing drills, bro. He fucking killing me. I'm like, oh shit, I think I signed to the wrong school. He was so fast, man. But man, it's just that at that time, bro, we was fucking rolling, man.
If you look at the running backs on that team, it was
me,
Clint Portis, McGahee, mm-hmm, Frank Gore, and then Najee Payton.
Yep.
And you mentioned Sean Taylor, who was the All State running back of the year in Florida, right?
Yep.
And they moved him to safety.
Safety. Yep.
Did he ever want to play? Did he ever get into rotation running back?
Nah. He didn't never want to play, but I've been knowing Sean since, like, Little League. You know, in Miami, you know, we all know each other about playing Pop Warner and stuff. So I knew about Sean. But me, Sean probably one of the best football players I've ever been around, man.
Yeah, he's my favorite player.
I'm being real, bro. Like, Sean could play any position on the football field. Like, running back, receiver, linebacker, safety, corner, anything you put him, he's gonna be fucking real good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my brother, man. I love him. But yeah, he was a baller.
Yeah, that team is just. We didn't even mention Ed Reed. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Like, it's great. That's how good the team was, though.
Yeah.
Maybe the best player on the entire team. When you guys get back together and do you talk about, like, holy shit, this team? I mean, I don't know. I'd have to count, like, who is going to be in the Hall of Fame. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame. Ed Reed's already in the Hall of Fame.
We got Andre Johnson.
Yeah, Andre Johnson.
We got
Wilfork will probably be in there.
We got who else? Let me see.
But it's going to be a ton of Hall of Famers and also a ton of guys that played a long time in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's really crazy to look back at. I mean, I don't know. Who would you say was the best all-around football player on that team?
I said it.
Sean Taylor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
telling you, man, any position on a football field, bro, he can do it, man. And at a high level, I'm not just saying just put him there and hope he's okay. He's going to be the best at the position.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when you first heard the Seventh Floor Crew?
Oh, I was in the NFL at the time.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, but, you know.
Greg Olson's a friend.
Yeah, that's my man, too.
G-Ray.
My man, yeah. That when Greg was young, man.
Yeah.
Did you ever tell Ken Dorsey not to wear sleeves? Because those sleeves were – that was like the craziest part about how big the series was and stuff.
Nah.
Yeah. Miami was the swaggiest team. All these fucking incredible dudes. Then Ken Dorsey would come out with these baggy-ass sleeves and be like, come on, man.
Well, he'll ball out, dude.
He did.
Is April 12th still Frank Gore Day?
Oh.
Because I saw that the –
Talking about the city.
Yeah, you got a key to the city of Miami, which – the key's probably been used for some crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if it's Frank Gore Day 1 year, do they have to repeat that every year, right?
They got to.
April 12th,
it's my day.
Frank Gore Day.
Yo, that's my day.
That's got to be pretty cool, getting the key to a city.
That's been a blessing, man. But, you know, I did it the right way. You know, I still go back to my community. I help out. I do, I do little camps in the summer. I also about to do. I've been doing a toy giveaway on Christmas to my neighborhood for kids. I've been doing that for probably like 12, 13 years. So my name good in the city, man.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that they did give me the key to it. And I'm Miami all day.
Yeah. Who's the guy who hit the absolute hardest? The guy that you knew that like, oh fuck, like this Sunday, I'm Frank Gore, I'm tough. But this guy will...
See, my mind never... My mind... Only time my mind ever got like that when I was in high school was... I was in the 10th grade, and we played Killian High, man. And Sean Taylor was in the 10th grade, bro. Man, he hit me one time, bro. I went under the bleachers. So the next year, I didn't know he transferred. So, you know, before the game, I see a tall guy with his number or something. I'm like, damn, here you go right there. You know, that was the only time I ever thought like that in football.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I never think about, oh, this guy hit. So that just never was me.
So who was the hardest – what's the hardest hit that you ever got then? The one guy
– I would say who bring it, who I respect, who played the game the right way, 31, Cam Chancellor.
Okay.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, he was a baller, bro. He set him, Bobby Wagner, like – Them boys, they played the football. They played football the right way. Man.
Those are some awesome games too, Niners and Seahawks. You guys played some legendary.
So I was like,
games.
When I went to the AFC South, I was like, whoo! I was happy to get out of the NFC West.
Yes,
especially when we played Seattle, we used to be banging, man.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Super Bowl real quick. So you scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
got 100 yards in the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl champion, or excuse me, not a Super Bowl champion. You were You were leading
Damn.
That. It was a good game.
No,
you got fucked. What I was going to say is you got fucked in that game because the lights cut out at halftime.
No, we was
the other way. Yeah,
us.
They came back.
It helped us. The lights went off and we was getting killed.
What did you do at halftime when the lights went out?
We was on the sideline. We was just warming up and we all was talking and say, bro, we knew that we was a better team. We just was making a lot of mistakes early on. We just told ourselves we had to settle down. And we settled down, and we just came back. And then, you know, we got down to the last couple seconds. We just didn't run the ball. I felt like we would have run the ball. I think we would have probably won.
Damn.
The Titans should sign you, and you should get that.
Yeah, they got my boy AP. Man, I'm cool. I'm looking forward to December 18th, man, and I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blessed. I want to say thanks to my man Malky for coming through for me because he said he will. You know, when I told him I wanted to fight, he wanted to make sure I was serious about it. But once he saw me serious, he got me a fight. And I'm just going to try to take advantage of it and have fun with it.
Yeah.
Try to get a win, man.
I had one last question. It's kind of an awkward question. I don't really know how to ask it, but I'm going to ask it. And we'll see how this goes. What did you didn't wear – were you wearing underwear when you played in the NFL?
Oh,
let's start there, and we'll move from that and try to figure it out.
Nah, I didn't like.
You have big fucking balls, dude. Like actually big balls that I've seen multiple times.
No, I don't.
Because
they would just be
popping around in your pants.
I don't like.
All right, I just got rid of it. I said it.
It would have been more awkward if he didn't say it. The amount of time
people would be mad at me
of the
if I didn't
talking
say
about
it.
Frank Gore's
I didn't say it.
I didn't like when like. I like to be loose, bro.
Yeah, oh, I know. Very loose. Do you want to see a pic, tweet of mine from 2014?
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Pick them out,
there
man.
It is.
Wow.
You did. You played loose, yeah. to put it that way. Yeah, no, people like are listening to this interview, and in the back of their head, they're like, when is Big Cat going to ask about Frank Gore's balls? So I did it. I did it. And we're done with it. I feel good that it's been said.
It would have been more awkward if he didn't bring it up. Trust me. He would have been. He would have spent the next week talking about how he should have asked you about your nuts.
No, that's cool.
All right. In terms of Frank Gore records, is it the most starts as a running back, or is it the fact that you have 12 consecutive 1,200 yard season? Which ones are you more proud of? The running back one is nuts.
Yeah, but
241 played.
I'm blessed with all my compliments, man. Because what I had to deal with to get to the NFL, man, was tough, bro. You know, you gotta understand. I go to Miami at the time. You play as a freshman, you're a badass. You know, mm-hmm. I play. You know, what I'm saying I come back thinking, you know, I'm about to be the man because Portis leave. You know, I tear my knee up, boom. Okay, McGahee go off, he go to the NFL. I get back, you know, and I go ball first 5-6 games. I tear my knee up again. Now it's like, wow, what's next? You know, after one, people don't make it back. Then you get two, then definitely everybody say, I'm done. And for me to overcome that, man, and, you know, keep working and, you know, and getting to the NFL and do what I did, man. I'm blessed and I'm happy about all of them, because man, it wasn't hard. It was hard to get there, man. So, I'm happy about all the most games, because a lot of people say I was injury prone, say I won't play 3 years because of my injuries. I'm happy about the how many yards again?
10 seasons of 1,200 yards or more.
I'm happy about that. Because it lets you know I've been consistent for a long time.
Yeah.
It is crazy looking at your career and seeing that.
People still try to knock me, man.
No, that's stupid.
You point them to us.
I think you're going to actually.
We'll fuck them up. We'll shit pump them.
And I think you're going to have one of those legacies where people in like 20 years will say the name Frank Gore and like real football fans will be like, oh, fuck yeah, he was.
Like if you go to a coordinator, defensive coordinator, man, even when I was in fucking. My last year in fucking New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, they was coming to stop me, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll tell me, like, bro, how the fuck you still can play? You know what I'm saying? And I, that's why I don't care about the outside world who really don't understand the game and know what it take and know, like, bro, like, man, I was a bad motherfucker, bro.
Yeah, do you still have you got the necklace with the stop sign on it that says Gore?
I'm done with that.
That was a good necklace, though.
The rose gold, yeah. Stop sign say Gore, yeah.
And so why did the stop sign?
I had that in college.
Why did the stop sign say Gore?
You know, I don't know. I just, you know, at the time.
You know why?
Because
motherfuckers can't stop Gore, right?
Right, you're right.
that's what you used to tell everybody.
No, it's crazy, man.
It's crazy, man. I got that in college, boy. Shout out to my boy, Marky. You know, you.
it's nuts looking. There was a 13-year stretch there where 12 out of 13 years you started 14 or more games. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. That's for a running
hard
back,
work,
that's unheard
baby.
Of.
Mm-hmm. Hard work.
Yeah.
Hard work and God, man. You know, man. Because, you know, I'm going to be real, man. Like, after when I had success in college and me being around Portis them and seeing what they was doing in the league, I'm being real. I used to look ahead. Oh, man, if Portis can do this, you know what I'm saying? I can't wait. Instead of just focusing on the day.
Yeah.
Focus on where I'm at the time. So I always just look ahead. I'm ready to get to the NFL, you know, but it wasn't my time.
Yeah.
That's why I had to start thinking about the day instead of the future, you know what I'm saying? And it started helping me out, man. And just now I just, man, every time I used to get on the field, man, I just bust my ass. Like, it's like it might be my last. And I've been blessed. 16 years in the NFL, man. Have a great career.
Yeah. All right. I had one last question.
I was just going to ask about your time in Miami when you played there in the NFL.
Oh, I loved that.
And so Adam Gase was your coach there. My I was dog. Actually talking.
Shout out Adam. That's my dog. I know a lot of people.
That's rare. That's a rare that's shout my dog. Out.
I've been knowing for, you know, since 2007, 2008.
So I was talking to Arian Foster yesterday. He does a show here at Barstool. And so I was asking about Adam Gase, and he was saying that Adam Gase was actually one of his favorite offensive coaches to play for. The only weird thing about him was he just used to always talk about Jay Cutler. When Jay, even like Jay's not around, he would just always talk about
the perfect quarterback.
How great Jay Cutler was.
Yeah.
Did he ever just talk to you? Was he ever like, hey, man, you remember Jay Cutler?
Nah, he didn't. Nah. Nah, we just talk about like when he was with us in San Fran, you know, helping out and stuff. And you know, that's my dog, though. You know, I know a lot of people be dogging him, but, you know, I think he, you know, if he get another shot, he'll probably do better, man.
Yeah. Okay, I have one last question.
Listen up, we've got some tea and you all are going to be obsessed. We spoke with the Abercrombie team and they told us that they were going to launch a wedding shop. Well, we lost it because, as you know, we are both getting ready to get Abercrombie and hitched. The whole vibe of Abercrombie these days is clothes you'd wear for a perfect long weekend, and all their customers were like, hey, we spend long weekends traveling for weddings these days. And then Abercrombie was like, we love that. Let us just give you everything you could ever possibly want and love to wear for all things wedding. So they did. It has everything. Tons of dresses, jumpsuits, pants, swimsuits, pajamas, pantsuits, and all perfectly curated for different events, bachelorettes, brunches, showers, ceremonies as a guest and ceremonies as a bride, reception, and even honeymoon. It is incredible. Check out the Abercrombie Wedding Shop on Abercrombie.com. Go shop it now.
Deron Williams versus Frank Gore. Are you going to predict first round knockout?
Nah, I'm going to go in there and try to, you know, I'm going to try to do what my coach say, you know, because, you know, we didn't see film on him, so we got to see, like, you know, what type of movement, what type of style he is. Then, you know, I go from there. If it come, it come, you know. Yeah. But I'm going to get the win. I'm trying to get the win, my best, and get the win. But I want people to be like, man, this kid, Frank Gore, this guy got skills.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, so my last question, what's the weirdest, like, Jim Harbaugh story or, like, motivation thing he tried to do with the team? I mean, we've heard a bunch of them. He's the best.
No, this was the funniest, man. Oh, my God. You know, like, you know, when you win, you play, like, before the game, you play, like, the highlights. So, bro, so he'll go to high schools. Then he got so crazy, he started getting the guys who worked for, like, the teams. So I don't know how he was finding them. And he was getting the guys who, like our sprint coach when they was in high school. Or, you know, you get some coaches, swear to God, they was a badass, right? Man, he put one of our coaches up there getting his ass killed on the field. It was, man, it was still, I won't put the name out because that's my boy. But,
it better
man,
not be Jim Thompson.
Nah, okay.
That's not get killed.
Nah. But, yeah. Hey, man, that shit was, dog, he had a whole, it was before, I think it was before the Green Bay playoff game, too.
Was there ever a moment where you were like, is he gonna try to suit up and play quarterback today?
Oh, he did. but he's
still I know.
Practice, bro.
Yeah?
Yes.
He'd run the whole offense?
Bro, he was practicing, like, with the guys, man.
With,
like,
pads on and everything?
Yes, but he'd have on the shoulder pads and the helmet with his Dickies on and stuff, you know?
Yeah. That's fucking perfect.
I mean, he used to always wear cleats and his khakis.
Yeah.
Walking around.
Dog, he was practicing. He very competitive, man.
Yeah.
Yes, bro.
He would run the offense?
I'm telling you.
How was he?
You know, he had his days.
Wait, in his head, days. He's Wait. Definitely like, I could still be yeah, get out there days. And sling it.
The real question is, did he put a red jersey on himself, or was he like, if you get to me, you can hit me?
Nah, he had a red jersey.
No.
Nah, but Coach Harbaugh, my man. Dude,
yeah,
man.
We love him, too.
He coming to the fight, so I got to tell my boy Mark, he got to try to take care of my man. Mm-hmm.
Hell yes. All right, well, Frank Gore, thank you. Sorry I had to ask the balls question.
Nah, that's
but
cool.
You said it. You played loose. Did you know it when it was happening? You're like, oh, my balls are on TV right now.
You gotta understand, people will show, like, send it to me on Instagram. Or
yeah.
I'm like, God damn.
You're like, hey, Frank, here are your balls.
It was slow-mo. Like, when yeah, when no, Frank's slow-mo balls would come out and be like, what are we watching here?
Oh, shit, man. Oh, I like this show right here.
All right, there we go. I told you we'd try to make it a little different. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, you have to come back on after the fight now.
Yes. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Just talk to
right.
man.
All right. Love it. Yeah. Well, right, Frank, thank you so much. Nah, good luck. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yep. Frank Gore is brought to you by our great friends over at Movement. We love Movement. It's almost the holidays. Holy shit, they snuck up on us. And Movement, the original watch brand to break all the rules started by two college dropouts who didn't want to overpay for a nice watch, has you covered. They're bringing you the sleekest, most quality gifts of the season with hundreds of watches, blue light glasses, sunnies, fine jewelry. You can choose from stocking stuffers. You can impress your family while your partners, or you can treat yourself with the perfect gift from Movement. This is what I did a couple years ago. Bought all my family members' watches. Got a bunch of Movement watches. They come in great packages, very easy to wrap, and they look, they feel like $1 million, but they don't necessarily break your bank. I love all the Movement watches that they've sent me. I've gotten a lot of compliments. My friends and family have gotten compliments on theirs. They still love them, and they're not going to break that bank. They start at just $95. Movement has clean, minimal designs, quality products. They've sold almost 2 million watches in over 160 countries. Be the big winner this holiday season with a gift from Movement. Go to mvmt.com/pardon. That's mvmt.com/pardon. Join the Movement today.
All right. Weekend preview. If you're listening to this on Friday, hope you had a good Thanksgiving. Man, what a game, Tim Boyle versus Andy Dalton.
Incredible. I'm so glad that we took the over and the Lions.
What a fucking shit show. All right. Let's do some picks. Let's talk about it. I predicted a bloodbath. I had a bloodbath on Sunday. Jake, what are the records at?
So right now, Hank has a 3.5-game lead on Billy, who is now all by himself in the dangerous spot at second.
Okay.
PFT and Liam at 23-21, and you and I tied for last with the trip with Billy.
Let's go.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
All right, so Jake and Billy. That would be great.
Hype.
Fantastic.
Hype.
Good bonding.
Yeah, big time bonding. Remember when you guys went out to dinner?
Talk about your goals.
Yeah, talk about your goals. Your life goals. Yes.
Life goals.
That was a big time.
We actually get along very well.
I know. Billy, yeah. What's one life goal from Jake that you remember him talking about?
He wants to announce a Sunday night football game.
Wow. That's a big life goal.
That's huge.
Jake, is there anything you'd like to share with the class?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was going to save it for next week, but we can say it now.
Why don't we just, because, you know, we're bad at planning things, so let's do it both. Let's say it now and next week.
Okay. So, next week, ESPN Plus, Mac doubleheader, Friday night, Iona versus Ryder, Sunday afternoon, Manhattan versus Quinnipiac.
Back
on the call. First time doing basketball since pre-COVID. Very excited.
Jake Hell Marsh yes. on the plus.
Oh, yes. It's going to be great. Let's We're all going to watch.
Clap it up for Jake.
Everyone better watch.
Yeah.
And turn it on all your streaming platforms so that we can get.
Especially Sunday, right? During the witching hour. I know you got to be watching.
We will. We'll definitely have it on.
Yeah, we will.
We'll have it on something.
Wait, what time is it on Sunday?
2 p.m.
Yeah, we'll be watching.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll have it on one of the TVs.
Wait, is that game is that?
Huh? Uh-huh.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Manhattan, Quinnipiac, Sunday, 2 p.m.
Go Cats. That's better than go Bobcats.
Yeah.
I'm going to responsibly wager on both of those games.
And Friday night, Rick Pitino.
We never said anything bad about him.
Exactly.
But if you need some 10-second violation jokes to sprinkle in, I'm happy to provide those for you.
We'll see. But yeah, if you can tune in, that would be great. If not,
no.
Appreciate
no,
it.
No.
Post the highlights.
Everyone fucking
tune
in.
If not, fuck you.
If you don't tune in, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You're banned.
There you go.
You're banned
it
from the podcast.
For lacrosse, so.
Yes. Yes. No, you're banned from the podcast. Yeah. You're banned for life.
Yeah.
Lifetime
you're banned
banishment.
From life.
Please tune in. Looking forward to getting the reps in.
Yes. It's going to be great. All right. Let's do some picks. Let's start with our favorites. Favorites. Hank, why don't you get it going? Hank's doing well. Hank's the sharpest in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, all my picks are hitting lately.
How many games ahead?
He's crushing it.
Yeah,
he's 3.5.
The man can't lose.
Cannot lose.
I'm on fire.
I might have to tank. Go back to tanking. I'm flying too close to the sun.
Yeah,
Are you in second place right now?
Yeah.
By how many? Games?
My favorite are the Bucks. Tom, terrific. Gronk being back is huge. You guys have been talking about Antonio Brown. But from my experience, it always has been Gronk. It always will be Gronk. Him being back last night, you saw how much better they played. And yeah, I just think they're going to have a lot of rest, come out, beat the Colts handily.
So that's Bucks at Colts. The Colts win this game.
It's Bucks 2.5 at Colts, sorry.
I will say, if the Bucks win, if the Colts win this game, I am officially getting a little nervous about my pinky.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be two very impressive wins in a row.
Oh, they're your pinky team?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
They started 0-3.
I would not be worried about the Colts long term, but they're a tough enough team that they could.
They're better than the Texans were that year, I think.
The Texans rattled off 9 wins, I think, in a row that year. But yeah, no, this is I'm a little nervous. Let's just say that.
If he doesn't play, then the Colts could win. If he does play, it's over.
Okay. Liam.
I'm taking the Pats -6.5.
Okay.
I think they've been rolling and everything like says the opposite, kind of. The hungry dog runs faster with the Titans.
Yeah.
So then I'm flipping that.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm also on that. I think that the Titans, without Derrick Henry, are a big-time problem. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about it because obviously they beat the Rams on Sunday Night Football. We all watched that. But then you remember that there were 2 pick sixes involved that greatly helped them. I think the Titans are in big-time trouble without Derrick Henry. And also, isn't A.J. Brown got hurt in the last game? We don't know, obviously. We're taping this on Tuesday. But they're pretty banged up offensively.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to expect out of the Titans. I really don't, because when they play good teams, they're awesome.
Yep.
And then when they play worse teams, they're actually worse than the worst teams are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're playing a good team, so I'm kind of inclined to think that they're going to be good again.
Awesome, yeah. Yeah, I'm falling into the classic trap of disrespecting the Titans.
Yeah, you are.
Always fucks me.
You should
face.
Remember the Titans.
I should remember the Titans. All right, your favorite.
My favorite is going to be the Atlanta Falcons. -5. Over
Ooh.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ooh.
This was
Is that the line? I think it's
-0.5. Sorry,
-0.5.
Minus half.
That's
minus
a big difference.
-0.5. It's definitely not -5.
But you love them in -5.
I love that. I would probably take them at -5. The Jaguars opened up as 1-point favorites.
Mm.
The Jaguars should not be a favorite against any team,
Mm-mm.
in my opinion.
Mm-mm.
But the Falcons are now favored on the road in Jacksonville. It's a short trip for them. Florida Georgia Line game of -0.5. And fun stat. Right now, all time in the NFL, bird teams against cat teams are exactly .500.
Wow.
I think it's 209-209-1. They've tied one game. This is going to be the week that it swings in favor of the bird teams.
Wow. That is a hell of a stat.
It is.
And it's the only bird-cat matchup?
As far as I know, this week.
Okay,
I'm not a zookeeper, but I think so.
By the way, I'm switching my pick. I'm taking the Washington football team -1. I just realized I'm doing exactly what I always say don't do, and that's disrespecting the Titans.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Washington football team. I'm done with the Seahawks.
I see this, +1.
What?
I'm looking at Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
The football teams, they're underdogs at home.
All right, I'm sticking with the Patriots. Fuck. All right, go ahead, Billy.
I'm going with Bills -5.5.
Bills -5. No, that's the Thursday.
It's on Thursday?
Yep.
Thanksgiving, yeah. We talked about it.
That's okay.
Well, we talked about it two days ago.
That's
so
actually
you don't
great
remember.
That you picked that because, Will, if they didn't cover, that's even better that people are listening right now on Friday. Okay.
I think or it's like a Back to the Future thing where he got the almanac
yeah,
and
that's
he's like,
true.
He knew it.
That's true.
Can I still count it?
No. No.
Who'd you go with?
I went with the Patriots.
Yeah, I'll take them.
Okay, so Billy's also on the Patriots.
I don't like what Billy's doing right now.
Isn't this
I don't
what
like
we
what
said
he's doing?
The integrity of the competition?
Yeah, he's just picking things that other people pick so he doesn't
Billy,
fall too
I'll give
far.
You a second. Jake, you do your pick. Billy, look at the board again.
I'm going with the Packers -1 at home against the Rams. Rodgers, probably mad. Lost last week. Can't see him losing
back-to-back.
Always
mad. Yeah. Because he's just a mad guy who can't find happiness.
So -1 at home.
Okay. Well, Billy, you have all the way till we come back to your underdog, okay? So I'm giving you the full turnaround. All right. Go ahead, Hank.
My underdog is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
Ooh.
I have that too.
Ooh, spicy.
They got a lot of fight.
Wait, are you going to bet on them against the spread or money line?
Money line, obviously. That's
sure?
the thing. You guys, when you guys take a underdog and we talk, we're not going back to the past. It's over. I'm taking the Steelers.
We have to keep
I'm
moving
taking
forward.
The Steelers. I'm
four
taking the
half.
Steelers 4.5 against the Bengals. At the
Should
Bengals.
We do a group bet on
No actually, love lost between these two teams.
I was actually
rivalry week.
I was looking at maybe doing an alternate spread like Steelers minus three.
That's a group bet.
No, it's from just India. Us.
And Pat Freiermuth to score.
Yeah,
four touchdowns.
Again, whatever.
Hank, rank the AFC North quarterbacks.
Ooh,
Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
Baker.
Whoa,
you didn't want to say Baker, but you did.
Big Ben. Lamar, reset. Joe Burrow, Baker, reset. Big Ben. Sorry about that.
What about Big Ben after COVID?
No, Big Ben sucks.
I know. I would put Lamar with diarrhea ahead of Big Ben after COVID, and then Big Ben before COVID ahead of Lamar without diarrhea. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Big Ben post-COVID is a monster. He is. Very, very good. All right. Bubba, you're also taking the Steelers?
Yep.
Sounds like a group bet. Sounds like a fucking the makings of a group bet.
Okay, I'm going to take the Washington football team.
Oh, they're going to take the Steelers.
Nope.
I'm also taking the Washington football team.
God help me.
Fuck the Seahawks.
God help me. I think that we're like 1-17 in Monday Night Football since 1998. Not a great record,
no.
Admittedly. But what they don't tell you is that we beat the Steelers on a Monday night, but it just technically wasn't Monday Night Football.
That's right. That's right.
So, you know, fuck you, calendar. But yeah, I think I have to ride this football team. I think that they're playing really well, and I think that the Seahawks are just a miserable football team filled with has-beens and losers.
The Seahawks are canceled until Russell Wilson, like, proves that he's not injured. I'm done thinking that the medical miracle and all the hype videos. I'm sick of the Seahawks because they are a classic team that they've been good for so long that if I don't quit them cold turkey, they will just stick around in my head being like, well, they're good. They have to be good.
It's important to know when to end this relationship.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks stink. And more so than the fact that they stink is that they're boring when they stink. And so I was actually thinking about going down to this game because when am I going to get another chance to see the football team play? Because it's a Monday night game. But then I was like, wait, why am I going to do that to myself?
Right.
I hate watching the Seahawks on television. It's probably way worse in person. And then I have to go to Landover. Excuse me, Raljohn.
Yeah, and also Cyber Monday. That's really why you didn't go.
And also Cyber Monday, because I knew that I had. I knew that I had to be here.
Yeah,
but I really, that. I wanted to
me
be here.
Me just saying that right now was just a reminder. But you already did. You didn't need a reminder.
I wanted to be here.
Yeah,
but I was being pulled away. But right. Now it's good to just remind myself what's really important. That's being here with you guys.
Yes, Billy, your underdog and your favorite.
So Jets plus 2.5 for my underdog.
Okay,
and I'm going Falcons by minus a half point.
I love it.
Is my favorite.
Minus
the Jets.
Minus 5.
Minus 0.5.
Minus 0.5.
Minus 0.5.
Yeah. So
how? Okay, so that's a bird.
Quick
and
quiz,
a cat.
Billy. Do you know what PFT's favorite pick was?
You also took the Falcons?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
And PFT's computer model has the Falcons up to, he would take them as a 5-point favorite.
Crazy.
That's how good his computer model is.
No, it's the deep numbers.
Yeah.
Just in my head, only the Cowboys and Lions can play on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, adding the third game, yes.
That's what weirds me out.
I wish they had kept that as a rivalry, Egg Bowl, Texas A&M. I agree with you. I don't, adding that, but that's also, that's the NFL. They just, if there's a slot, they're going to take it.
Yep.
I think that's their motto, right on the door.
If I see a slit, I'm going to fill it.
Yeah, slot, let me put myself in it.
I'm going to dive right in.
Mm-hmm. All right, your underdog, Jake.
I'm taking the Dolphins plus 1.5 at home against the Panthers. Dolphins, 500, Christmas.
Wow.
See you there.
Oh, Hank's deep numbers have just had a malfunction because he was like, how are the Dolphins
home
plus
dogs?
1.5 against the Panthers? Hammer time, Hank.
Yeah.
I saw that face. That was the face of a guy who's like, what?
Yeah.
I think I realize what a lot of people don't like about Tua.
Oh, do tell.
Besides the fact that they don't watch the All-22.
Yeah, I love him.
His eye black is too big.
Mm.
His eye black is too big. And I don't, Billy, as a former college athlete, maybe you can tell me about how this affects the quarterback position. But I feel like if the eye black was too big, doesn't it just suck all the light in?
Too
might
much
get
light?
Into your eyes.
It what?
Might get into your eyes.
The eye black might get into his eyes. No, but does he have the tape or does he have the actual eye
black?
No,
he does. He's cross-eyed. He does the giant crosses.
That's right.
On each side. But I guess I'm always curious how eye black works because in my limited experience with eye black, I can't really tell the difference between when I'm wearing it and when I'm not wearing it. I feel like it's a placebo effect sometimes. But then again, if it's real and you're like Tua with a shitload of eye black on, could you use too much? Would that affect you in a bad way?
I actually don't get the science of eye black.
I don't either.
No sense. I think it just looks cool.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I mean, I always wore it, so I don't know if it actually, like, there was a difference.
Did you do the actual eye black, or did you do the, like, Band-Aid strips that you'd stick on?
I used the actual eye black.
Good.
Band-Aids. Is it, like, a positional thing? Like, quarterbacks wear it, tight ends don't wear it?
No, like, D linemen always just go nuts with it for some reason.
Oh, like Lattimore in the program.
Yeah, or like Justin Trudeau.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, really go crazy with it.
got out of hand. He had to go out there and play.
He thought he was playing. Yeah, he thought he was filling the A gap. Yeah.
The CFL's different.
All right. Jake. You went with your underdog, Hank. We're on the overs.
Oh, we're on the overs.
Yeah, this is a weird slate because it's whenever we lose those three games on Thanksgiving, then you get to Sunday and you're like, wait, where are all the games? And there's a few really, really good games and then some really, really bad games.
This is I don't understand why the line is so low, so I'm taking the over. If you know, anytime, any place in the last 10 years, if you said it's going to be Matt Stafford versus Aaron Rodgers, you're going to think it's going to be a lot of points. I would have said definitely more than 50 points, so the fact that the Rams and Packers is over 48 seems low to me, so I'm taking it.
Mm.
I like it.
Love it.
You know what you just did? You just used Billy's method.
You did Billy.
That was Billy's method.
Yeah. That was genius.
The Billy football. I mean, that's how it goes.
Yes. All right. I'm excited for that game. I feel
seems like a shootout, right?
Mm-hmm. Also,
on paper.
We're going to find
OBJ?
Out. We're going to find out if the
Devontae Adams?
Rams are really frauds or not.
Yeah.
Because, quick reminder, the Rams won the Week 3 Super Bowl against the Bucs, and then since then they have not beaten any good teams. So, if they
chip
win this
game.
Chip
on their shoulder.
Yeah. Since they won the Week 3 Super Bowl, they beat the Seahawks, the Giants, the Lions, and the Texans. Those are some bad teams. Those are four really bad teams. Liam, you're over.
I'm doing Falcons, Jags over 46.5.
Ugh,
I just think it's
going to
be close
it.
And then it'll come down to the end.
Do you think it's going to be a bird or a cat?
It's an all-time question.
I don't know. Wait, what is it?
Bird or cat.
Bird or cat.
209-209.
Falcon and Jaguar.
If the season ended
over, I don't care.
I hope it's a tie.
I don't know.
If the season ended Sunday night, one of those two animals would come out victorious.
Mm-hmm. PFT, you're over.
I'm going to take the Panthers-Dolphins over, 42.5, because these teams stink, but I think they stink in a way that their defenses, they can exploit each other. They deserve each other.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Complimentary stink.
Yeah, complimentary stink. So, 42.5, that's just not a lot of points. My projected number is 46.
All right, my over, I'm going to take Vikings-49ers. Vikings-49ers over 48. Is that right, Jake?
Yes.
Okay. Over 48. I feel like there's going to be a lot of points in that game.
Who'd you have the over on last week, Big Cat?
Dallas, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jake.
With, did you do that to hurt my Leo. Feelings? Because it
no,
did.
No, I forgot. Troy Aikman had that over.
Yes.
But I don't know if you're the same way. I was asking because I thought for some reason you took the Vikings over last week also.
No.
But that happens to me frequently where I'll take an over. And then one of the teams will absolutely deliver for me, so I just follow that.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I follow that team around.
You got to reward excellence.
Yes.
Also, that's the reminder. If any AWLs are watching sports this weekend in the open, the broadcaster says there's going to be fireworks. Remind us to take the under.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
With Troy Aikball.
Yes. All right, Billy, you're over.
Eagles-Giants, 46.
Don't love it. Are you trying to win this one?
No.
Okay, good.
This
that's
is
a great pick.
Well, the thing is, what happens is I'm like, this is totally not going to be an over. And then I say, but I'm not trying to win this one, so I pick it, then it wins.
Okay. Wait, so...
I like that.
So are you
I
trying...
I like it. I've thought about it long enough. I like it.
Yeah, I don't think we need to dissect
blown coverages.
Yes. College football plays.
Exactly.
Yes.
New offensive... New play caller for the Giants.
Freddie Kitchens
a lot of new shit that he's just
hell yes,
throw out.
Freddie Kitchens.
Running the draw on fourth
guy.
And long.
Just weird shit.
I love that guy so much.
I don't know. The NFC Beast matchup, I think that these teams play each other pretty tough usually.
Know each other. Familiarity.
They are, yeah.
All right. Jake, you're over.
I'm taking Steelers-Bengals over 45.5. Joe Burrow, I feel like he's been scoring a lot.
Yeah.
Big Ben, they can hang with him.
Post-COVID?
So. Yeah, 7-0, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it was 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Oh. I think it's only happened twice.
Yeah, I don't think, right. So Big Ben
he's
hasn't
He's
got
to get it again.
He's had COVID twice, not 7. He's working on it.
Yeah. And my theory is he has never had COVID. He just rests extra when he pretends he has COVID, and then he comes back and plays well. Mm-hmm.
He gets the at-home test, and it's really just a pregnancy test. And mm-hmm. he pisses on it and then writes down, you have COVID again.
COVID. All right, under, wrapping it up. Unders.
Patriots, Titans, no Derrick Henry, under 44.5. Belichick punts on 4th-and-1 and shit.
These teams know each other?
These teams know each other. Defensive battle.
Vrabel.
Patriots play conservatively. I like the under.
Vrabel mm-hmm. just finds a loophole and
also,
stops the clock.
You know, take
for
it for what it's
minutes.
Worth. I'm 10-1 on unders in these picks.
So no big deal.
Due for a regression for sure, but 10-1.
No, hey, give yourself credit.
10-1.
The under king.
I'm not bragging. I'm just stating facts. 10-1. Fact or fiction? That's a fact.
So that means all your other picks you're not good in.
No, I'm good in all of them.
Well, that can't possibly be true.
I think I'm good in the under. It's the only one I'm negative in. Take a guess.
Favorites.
Yep.
Yeah. You weren't born for that life.
No.
I do love Hank's new segment, Fact or Fiction.
Fact or Fiction. fiction.
Wait, does it work like that?
No. I'm saying Fact or Fiction. That's
no,
a fact.
Fiction. No, give me Fiction. Give me Fiction.
No, that's I'm not how saying it works. Fiction.
I'm really bad at picking unders.
Fact.
Fiction.
Oh, damn it.
I have no idea what just happened.
We lost. Fact or Fiction. Damn it. All right, Bubba, you're under.
Doing the Eagles-Giants under 46, so fading Billy, but I guess with him, if he's trying to lose it. So I don't know. I was trying to think out a word
knows?
And was confused.
Who the fuck knows?
But yeah, I don't see the Giants just in turmoil. I don't see them scoring a lot.
Okay. PFT?
I'm going to take the Browns-Ravens under 45.5. It's in Baltimore. It's going to be at night. The Ravens are probably going to be wearing their black uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson might still have diarrhea. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, this is a uniform game. The Browns playing against the Ravens at night is an under game. Make no mistake about it. It's like a 13-10 game.
Yep.
That's what I have envisioned. I have the Ravens defense flying around the ball. I have them swarming. I have the Browns offense just like trying and trying and trying to establish the run, never really getting it off the ground. And then I have...
Or always keeping it on the ground.
Always. No, never getting the ground game
off the ground. Got it. Which, these are all, by the way, for people who are saying, like, how does PFT know this? These are models.
Yeah, it's my model.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, duh. I've watched enough Ravens night games to know that there's no points that get scored in them.
Yes. Yes.
So,
Justin Tucker, long field goal.
Yeah, easy under. I think the Vegas right now has them at 45.5. My simulated numbers have it at 37.
Ooh, I like that. That's a huge edge.
Big swing.
Huge edge. All right, I'm going to take the Chargers-Broncos under 47.5. I feel like the Broncos off a bye. Vic Fangio cooks something up. Chargers, everyone's going to overreact to that shootout. The Chargers are weird because they either play in a game, and they're good. They're not great. They're good. But they either play in games that are boring and ugly, or they play in these shootout games like the Browns game, like the Steelers game. They played in a couple of those where it's very, very fun, electric. And then they played in – I can't remember which – what game – the Cowboys game week 2 was terrible.
That was a fucked up game.
That
I blame
the officials.
That was a fucked
up game. And then there was another one that they played that was very, very boring. I can't remember which one. Oh, the Ravens game they lost where they scored 6 points. Yeah, so – give me the under in that one, 47.5.
It says 47 here.
Okay.
47.5.
I like it even more at 47. Mm-hmm. That means I've already moved the line.
I just don't like the idea of taking a Broncos over this year.
Right. Right.
I just can't do it.
Right. Teddy Bridgewater, come on. Billy.
Tampa Bay Colts, 51.5 for the over. Mm. This is another one where under.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
This is one you look at and you're like, oh, this is an over, but I'm feeling like... it's going to be an under.
Okay.
Not trying to win it because but it's going to win.
What about the roof? How does the roof affect your model?
The roof actually, depth perception.
Okay.
It's like shooting in a dome.
Yeah. Is it easier for a receiver to catch a bomb, an absolute bomb, if the roof is open or if it's closed?
Probably open.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd agree.
dome throws it off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Jake, wrap us up.
We're wrapping up with Atlanta, Jacksonville under 46.
Oh, we're
half.
All over this game.
So opposite Liam.
We got a great read on this game
it
as a podcast.
Screams 13-9.
Ooh, calling your shot.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, that wouldn't be a Gami. No way.
No shot.
No shot. That was actually, I feel no stupid for asking.
It's all right.
No, that's okay. Call me stupid.
No, you're not stupid.
No, that was a stupid question.
No.
Any games we missed? I think we hit all of them.
I got a quick question.
Yeah,
about
did.
Our friend Taylor Luan.
Yeah.
So does anybody call him the dad of Nashville?
I think he calls himself that on the Bussin' podcast.
Okay, I didn't know that because I just saw a tweet from Adam Schefter saying that Taylor was on his podcast and he referred to him as the dad of Nashville, Taylor Luan.
Yes.
I didn't know if that was like Adam Schefter handing out nicknames like Mr. Editor again.
Sounds like you're not one of the boys.
Oh. Is that true?
No, I am a boy. I'm a big fan of the boys.
Are you a son
sure
of a boy
that?
Dad?
I'm not a boy. I'm a fan of the boys.
Are you a fan of the Suns?
I'm a fan of the boys. I'm a boy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a son of a boy dad.
I think we're all sons of boy dads.
Right.
No, you're the sons of boy dads fans are their sons. So you're the son of a son
of
a boy
the
dad.
So they're fathers?
Yes.
Are they doing the Gluck Gluck? 9,000?
That's their goal, I think. Trying to get on that level.
So who's the mom of Nashville?
Get that spotty money?
That's what I need to know.
The mom of Nashville, Taylor Swift.
So two Taylors.
Taylor and Taylor.
Taylor
mom
and Taylor.
Dad.
Love it.
You love it. All right. Anything else? Hope everyone has a great Thanksgiving. Obviously, no show Friday. You're listening to this right now, either on Wednesday or Friday. We will be back, obviously, on Monday. Anything else? Good luck with all the picks.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck with everything. Rivalry week. Stay safe.
How do we feel about pies? Give me a pie ranking.
Okay, real quick. I think pumpkin pie is trash.
I wouldn't say it's trash.
I don't like it.
Pumpkin pie is number three on my list.
Apple.
Apple's number tied for third.
Okay. Blueberry?
Blueberry's number two.
Peach.
Peach is number five.
Wow.
I still like it.
Pecan?
I like all pies. Pecan's number four.
Okay.
Still love it.
Cream.
Cream?
Ah, you dog, PFT. That's your number one, isn't it?
Nah, I was going to say sweet potato.
Ah.
Mud.
Same thing.
But mud. Also, I'd like to change mine to cream.
Yes. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Let
my
the
new
record
number one.
Show. Yeah. All right. Before we get the Bella Twins as well. So we're going to do the Bella Twins right now. A little extra bonus interview. Great to have them both on this time.
Guys love twins.
Yeah. They were actually really, really fun to have on. Before we do that, PFT, you got one last sponsor.
Yeah. Our great friends that we have over at Simply Safe want.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Now here's the Bella Twins.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we now welcome on very special guests. It is Nikki and Bree Bella, the Bella Twins. We've had Nikki on.
Yeah, that's right.
Very excited to have both of you on.
Thank you.
The podcast is back. The Bella's podcast is back. It's came back. Was it season two?
Season two.
Season two. Wow.
Season
it's been
two.
Back for 3 weeks now.
Three
right?
weeks.
Yeah.
Who's the big interview in season two?
So we just had Val from Dancing with the Stars on, but we're actually interviewing Tyler Cameron, which I think people will be excited about. We had my husband, Brian Danielson, on talking about AEW. Oh,
but we record every week. Yeah, we don't do like a season of like where we do everything up front. So every week it's like what we're feeling, who we want to bring on and
who we're
going to
just pick
connect
up on
with.
A call.
Yeah.
Okay, so who out of the two of you is like more like, I don't really want to record this week?
Gosh, I feel like lately it's been you, Nicole, but only because... But only because...
It's like those TikToks when they're like, when you close your eyes and you have to point next to the person. Who gets the most drunk?
Marie and I were just talking about that. We're like, how do you even have time to be like...
I'm like, I'm a mom. I don't get fucking time for that. But just because she's... Artem's been doing Dancing with the Stars and she's been on her own with Mateo, so she's been super tired. And so it's just been hard to work.
This is all news
to me.
This
is good. I like this. So, let's get it out. Let's get it out. Yeah.
I have like not complained. And really, I mean, I show up. So obviously I show up looking like shit.
I guess it's maybe not your style of complaint.
Well, yeah. I mean, you guys.
Obviously, there's maybe hasn't been any complaining from your perspective. But it sounds like, you know, if you show up to do the job, that's good enough. If you're a new mom and you show up for work. I feel like that's enough to just get a tip of the hat.
I mean, I should get high fives and props.
Yes.
And not, you know, get a hater to my pointing fingers.
I have two kids.
Working moms deserve all the credit in the world.
Don't we? Thank you. That's how I feel.
Big, big deal.
Yeah.
And our men travel a lot. So, like, working moms who are home a lot on our own.
You know, I was in couples therapy the other day.
Oh, with your sister?
No.
Oh, okay.
But we need it.
We'll do it for you right now.
So with my fiance, and you know, I was so happy because our life coach was like, you know, you have to sometimes recognize not only a career woman because of the pressures and just trying to make it where men make it, but then moms have a lot of pressures.
Yes.
And he goes, so then when you have a career mom, the pressures that she has to deal with are just enormous and stuff you don't realize. And I was like, keep going.
I think there's this weird thing, and it's probably some societal thing that like everyone subconsciously doesn't even realize is going on. But like moms, when they're away from their kids, I feel like they just get, there's so much more pressure to be home and be with the kids and like, and missing moments where I don't like, I, when I travel, I miss my kids a lot, but it just feels different. It's not right. It's not fair.
Right.
So I know how hard it must be for moms.
Oh yeah. Mom guilt is like,
mom guilt.
The mom guilt is crazy and it's like real. But I think it's your kids too at young ages. I don't know if you feel this with your son, but they're
and daughter.
Okay. So you're like me, boy and girl. Are they really attached to your wife at the young ages? You know what I mean? Like super needy for mom.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And that's how our kids are with us. So it makes us when we leave, like, it's just like, oh, but they just always really want mom to do this.
They're
going to
be
mom.
So sad.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely, there's definitely a vibe that mom is always like the fixer of everything. Yes. Yeah.
We're the
boo-boos and all that stuff.
Were either of you guys hoping for twins?
Ooh. I was.
Does it run
in
the family?
Actually. No, we're identical, so it's like an accident where the egg just happens to split.
Yeah, I don't want to pop them out again. Like, I've done it once. I don't want to experience again. So I was hoping for twins to get, like, two out of the way on a one-shot deal, but...
the most efficient birth possible.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, your parents could probably speak to it. Like, I don't understand how people have twins and deal with two babies, like, at the same exact time.
Right.
That's actually so
it's crazy.
Especially when they're your first,
it's crazy. I see people with twins, insane. I'm like, how the fuck do you do this?
I think I would rather have twins. It's like, you're done with diapers at the end of it. You don't have to carry around a diaper bag for, you know, 4 years.
Yeah, so you go through hell, like, the first year, and then, two. Just, first two are pretty tough.
Yeah.
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 Even though it's like, for me now, it's like three integers and then it's like the fucking fours. Like, my daughter's 4.5 and how she speaks to me, I'm like, what did you just say? Like, it's crazy.
Well, I think it was a TikTok or maybe on Instagram where someone was basically, you know, mocking how everyone deals with children in society, where it's like, oh, wait for the twos, it's gonna be the worst, wait for fives, wait till they're teenagers, and then when they go off to college, it's like, you gotta cherish every moment. How'd you let it go by so fast? Like, fuck you.
You told
me that every year was gonna suck.
That's actually so true.
Yes. My first real question, I saw I've been watching some of your podcasts, the Bella Army versus the Swifties. Do you guys have a chance?
I think so.
I know. Yeah.
You think so?
I don't know.
I think that's a no.
What's your emoji? Do you have like a scarf or what is it? See, you don't even have an emoji.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you guys are
lost. But that's when you have an army like we do. We don't need an emoji.
I know. Why don't we have an emoji?
You need an emoji.
A bell. Okay, Swifters
it should be
are
a bell.
Pretty... Oh, yes.
Or two, like, I think there's a twin emoji, too.
Oh, yeah. Bell, yeah. And then the bell emoji. And then the twin. The twin.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah, you
I wish we could make up our own emoji.
No, I think you guys are fucked by the Swifties. The Swifties are...
No, have you seen Bell Army?
Then who can we take down?
And
I feel like the Bella Army... Well, Swifties, though, they are pretty...
They're pretty crazy.
The Swifties are nuts.
I'm scared.
It's the craziest women in America. And the guys who are in the Swiftie Army are actually crazier than her female.
You're going to get it. I didn't say that. I want to be on the record. That was PFT. You said they're the craziest
women. No, I am a Swiftie. As a Swiftie, I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, wait.
Give her scarf back, Jake.
Swiftie is Taylor Swift's crew. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh, Bree.
That was embarrassing, Bree. Just so you know.
Was that?
Yeah. What's your favorite Taylor Swift?
That was very embarrassing, Bree.
I really like the soundtrack. What's it called? One?
No, I like the one she just did with
the red. No red.
Taylor's version. That,
yeah.
Taylor, I liked a lot of this.
Have you guys thought about doing that? Like doing all your best wrestling moments, redoing them so Vince doesn't own them anymore?
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's like a Swiftie movie.
Yeah. Right, make some NFTs out of it.
I was going to say NFTs.
Why not?
Rename Taylor's version.
Yeah.
And that way you get the Swiftie army buying your shit too.
Yeah.
Wow.
There you go.
You know, the Bella Army, they grow every week.
They do grow every week.
They're hardcore. And we're worldwide. I mean, Swifties are too, but like... There's something different about the Bella Army.
So what country have you guys traveled to where you're like, whoa, we're huge here?
I was like, I'll admit, when we went to South America and we like came off the plane into baggage claim, it was like almost a Rolling Stone moment.
Really?
Yes. I was mind blown. I was
wow.
And in South America, of course, I was like, yeah, you know, like, I get it. Like, we're going here to wrestle and all that. But I did not know what we were walking into.
Yeah.
In Singapore, too, I was like, I mean, always Japan, of course, in those areas. But, like, Singapore had shocked me. And I think certain parts of Australia.
Yeah.
UK, I mean, that's got to
be
amazing.
Yeah, it's got to be a very cool moment. Because, like, we've had those moments, but it's always been in the U.S. where it's like we'll go somewhere like, whoa, this like, is
wow,
kind of cool.
We're big in Buffalo. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
I don't think if we went to like, I don't know, Uruguay, I don't think there'd be people waiting for us.
I wonder if there's like a weird country that has a disproportionately high like percentage of award-winning listeners.
Mm. Maybe or Canada. Bella Army.
Yeah, maybe
yeah.
Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bella Army. I could
India.
See
India.
Singapore.
That's right.
India. Yeah. Yeah.
Talked a lot of cricket.
Yeah, that is. Totally. We've talked a lot of cricket.
We have talked a lot of cricket.
Shitload of cricket.
I have something I have to get off my chest. Something that irritates me a little bit about you guys. I'm not sure if we brought it up with you when we interviewed you in California. But what's the deal with sharing a Twitter account?
Mm.
You did bring it up.
Yeah. It's strange. It's like,
so,
like the McCordy
can
Twitter.
Can I confess something? Mm-hmm. I tell my sister all the time, just take Twitter. I don't even have the Twitter app. Just take
She doesn't even have it on her phone.
So I go, you have it. You are
it's
actually.
It's me. I'm the Bella
she's
Twins
the, So
on
I just
Twitter.
Go put Nikki Bella. I don't care.
Yeah.
No, but I wanted to. So WWE now owns that, don't they? Isn't that what? There was something where I tried. I wanted it to be Nikki
we'll
Bella.
Free you.
we
freed Odell.
You guys
you did?
Yeah. We'll free you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's free get us. Free.
Did you, have, you guys ever have you guys ever sneezed around Vince McMahon?
Have sneezed?
No, because you know how it's about him not liking germs.
Oh yeah.
No, we all know that he doesn't, so we wouldn't sneeze around.
Is he intimidating?
Oh my gosh. So he is very intimidating, but there's moments where you're like, whoa, like this is Uncle Vince, like really sweet and you feel comfortable and you're having like this deep, great
conversation.
When you
want to have a conversation with him, he's actually amazing to have a conversation with. I think it's more all of us who get intimidated by him because it's Vince McMahon.
Right.
So he's like more than just a boss. And then when you actually get the courage to go talk to him and you're sitting and talking with him, all of a sudden you're like, that was so easy. And that was also such a great conversation and so much better for my character. Why haven't I done this sooner?
Right.
And so it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
What's the best way to like get his attention? Does it have to be like in an office type environment, like schedule a meeting with him if you need to have a heart to heart?
Get the crowd to chant your name really loud.
Yeah. No, I
come back and he's like,
yeah, make him a lot of money.
Like, hey, let's talk right now.
Yeah. Actually, it's crazy because we always found the best time to talk to him is when the show's almost about to go on because the show's already written. Everything's
when all the creative meetings are done. That's
it's a little bit of the eye of the storm. Like the storm's going, but there's just this calmness. You kind of know that time, and that's when you go talk to him and you get his full attention.
Have you ever gotten in trouble with him, like where you did something and you knew that, like maybe you fucked up?
Yeah, there's.
Like, I'm going to get this call soon.
There's a couple times where I felt like yelled at.
Yeah,
And it was just like, oh, I mean, you think when you get yelled at, you're like, I don't know, we might have been in our late 20s. And all of a sudden you felt like a 5-year-old. Like, you're just like, whoa, I'm going to time out. Like, mm-hmm. like I'm grounded. This sucks.
Yeah.
It's critical parent on you.
Yeah.
And you just like yeah. Trump.
Yeah. It takes you back.
You guys both got inducted to the Hall of Fame, right?
We
Hall
did.
Hall of Famers, baby.
So did you get like a jacket or something or anything?
Rings.
Huge rings.
Rings. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you wearing them?
And plaques. Because people like to steal them. You have to be careful. We are in New York. We
heard about the, I would have stolen
we heard about the streets in New York. We're like, we're not bringing these.
Where you guys live? San Diego, right? No.
Napa Valley now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys have wine too. Now, wine making. Like, how do you guys just get to drink all the wine? Do you get to... I would actually want to stomp the grapes. I think that would be the fun part.
You know what? We've stomped grapes before.
You have?
Yeah. It's like the best. Yeah. I love the feeling of like stomping grapes. It's yeah. just so cool. So Lucy and
I feel like, not to make it like a foot fetish thing, but like, wouldn't it help the Bella Twins wine? No, oh, like the wine sales of like, these were smashed by our feet.
Yeah.
And maybe actually, a picture yeah. of your feet on
there'd
the
be,
bottle.
There'd be actually, some weirdos out there that pay millions that's actually, of dollars.
I'm just giving you guys million
you're
dollar ideas.
Yeah. You're on to something.
You're on to something. Yes. That might like be a special release.
Yeah. It was going to sound way creepier.
That, is there like national, yeah. is there a hashtag uh-huh. National Foot Day or anything?
No, there's some big time. I'm sure yeah, there's some big time feet creepers out there. And like, you guys could really hammer that market.
Oh, yeah, no, we're on one website.
Feetpedia or whatever?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who else did we have that was on that?
Oh, it's so bad. There's just one guy who just, I think, runs the whole thing.
The internet, and he just takes screenshots of everyone's feet. And
but I think some of them take it on the red carpets, some of the photographers, and they sell them.
Oh, interesting.
You haven't seen the website of like celebrity feet?
No.
Oh, yeah, girl, you're on there with some Zoom. Oh, like, yeah. Zoomed in, oh, toe yeah. action.
You should definitely have wine that was stomped with
yes.
your feet.
Yeah. yeah.
Just so you can even do like a special.
Oh, Cabernet.
Special
Cabernet
run.
Tauvignon.
Yeah, there
yeah,
you go.
There you
special
go.
Run.
Yeah.
Where it's just, Turlow.
Yeah. It's just got pictures of your feet stomping the grapes. Sweet.
And then do merch after. Like, it's.
Yeah,
their feet on like white T-shirts. Like,
yes,
there you go.
This wow. is toe marks. Tons of money that you guys can be
it's
making.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So wait, how often does a new like crop of the wine come out?
Oh gosh,
so we're bottling up our Chardonnay December 9th, and then in January we're bottling up some red. So
is it like a big
April,
day?
It is
when you
a big
do it?
Day.
You
yeah.
go out there and it's like, all right, let's
harvest,
go, guys.
Well,
we're bottling
harvest
it.
Just ended.
Harvest okay. is big. So we pick the grapes, and then they will. Get processed and sit in the barrels for a while, depending what vintage, however long we want them to sit in for. Mm-hmm. And then the bottling day comes. And then that's like...
Bottling day sounds fun. I want
bottling
to
day.
Bottling
is,
day.
It is exciting. Yeah. It's amazing.
How has global warming hurt your wine business?
It's actually, it's hurting Napa Valley a lot.
That was a joke of a question,
oh,
but
it?
You can answer
oh,
it. Yeah.
I was going to say,
but it is.
We literally have fire seasons now. Napa.
Yeah.
And like droughts.
So where's the next Napa Valley? Where should
well,
I be looking
so
to buy
Sonoma's actually kind of where it's at.
No, Sonoma's...
No, Sonoma's totally oh.
The fires are like going...
Coombsville is
Sonoma?
A sleeper.
Coombsville.
Coombsville.
But Spain is...
outside of Napa.
Outside Napa. Mm. But Spain is where they're trying to grow grapes out
and
of
I think South America, too. They're like... Yeah. There's some good wines coming out of there, and they feel like with global warming, they're going to be able to do a lot out of there. But it's... It's just hard because Napa Valley.
Yeah, there's something about
iconic.
It. Last time I was there, I went on a wine tour and we all forgot to eat. And then like my friend actually ended up breaking up with his girlfriend on the bus. And
oh
then,
my god!
Yeah, no, it was a
Isn't
whole fucking
like
scene. It was right before a wedding
witness?
Too.
Oh,
so
oh my
then
gosh.
We had to go to the wedding and they were like,
"What was he
still
they
broken
got,
up?"
No, they kind of got back together, but we all were like, "That was weird." Yeah, no,
what
it was
did
a whole
break
scene.
Up with her
it was
about?
Awesome. Yeah. I don't know. We were all
did they
so,
cry? Was it so
people
dramatic?
Were puking. It was like a whole fucking thing.
Oh my god.
We went to four different wineries, just never ate.
Oh, that's terrible.
And by
terrible.
The fourth one, we're like, wait, this was a mistake. And people were just blacked out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
like getting wine drunk is a little bit messier sometimes than getting just
oh, yeah.
whiskey drunk.
And not
drunk,
eating, yeah.
Whiskey drunk, you just get into a fight with somebody and
yeah.
then you
right.
just yell, take your shirt off. Wine, it's like you're thrown up, your lips, your teeth are all red.
Yep.
And everyone's crying.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a way more emotional drunk.
It yeah. is so emotional.
And then you get a massive hangover like the next day.
I mean, Brie mode over here, when she gets wine drunk, she
well,
just
so what
gets
happened
to
me last week?
I like Brie.
What's Brie mode?
Yeah, tell me about Brie
oh,
mode.
Oh, Brie mode. Let's talk about
it's
Brie mode.
Plan Brie.
Alter ego that comes out. But it What happens is, I don't know what happens. It's like, I feel like I'm fine. Like, I have a couple glasses of wine. But then next thing you know, I just feel like I transform into someone else. Like,
oh.
And I never know when. It's like a sleeper. I don't know when it happens. It just comes. And
so you just speak your
mind? You can't control it.
Are you telling people like, facts?
She dances.
Oh, that was so good. It's good. You're a happy drunk.
I'm actually very happy.
She might bite you.
Okay.
No, I don't bite anymore.
Okay.
You don't bite anymore. We used to bite people.
Like, last
It feels like, let's stop there. So with the biting, it feels like it had to reach a point where you really bit somebody that you shouldn't have bit, where you're like, okay, no more biting.
Someone had to get a tetanus shot.
Yeah.
Like, I thought I was going to be, like, sued.
Yeah.
Like, I got really scared. I was like, oh, shit, there goes my life.
Well, I mean, happy drunk, as long as it's a happy drunk.
Yeah.
No one wants
no,
to
I'm a, yeah, total happy drunk.
But you like to wrestle people. Like, she gets happy aggressive, but it's, like, in a fun way.
But in
like,
a fun way.
But I feel like
you showed up to someone's birthday party, and we literally used the memes, like Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball, because we came into this birthday party 2 hours late. It was a sit-down dinner. We came in so because we
this
did
like
a champagne tasting. So this one comes in, then there's the birthday boy standing in his nice one white button down. She gets a glass of red wine. She's like, ha, just tosses it on.
No, I thought I like actually knocked it.
No. And then she's like, we're dancing in the rain.
I like that.
And then we're all
soaked
in
dancing. I felt bad for him, and she's in this beautiful yellow dress. So I looked at her, and then I dumped my red wine on her, thinking like it'd make him feel better. And then people were like, they're a hot mess. And then we made everyone dance in the rain, and then
sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, so are you actually like willing to fight somebody now? Like from a physical standpoint, your body is has held up enough, or are there still like
I mean if like if someone made me feel like I had to fight, like if they threatened me, I would totally fight them and beat them. I think they'd be shocked.
When was the last time you got a fight?
I mean, like
a long time ago, Brie.
Like real fighting.
Fighting a hangover doesn't count.
No, I know. Real fighting I've never done. I mean, that's wrestling. But I know I could take, like if someone came up to me and was like, hey, and I'd be like, what? And they like talk shit, I'd, you know, and they hit me, I'd hit them back.
Yeah. Bell Army.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Big
fuck
time.
Them up.
Yeah.
How, so you guys have been on like different reality television shows. How, when they're taping and they're like in your face, is it the worst experience? I always feel like that must suck.
It can be.
Yeah.
Oh,
because like they're in your house too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's major anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we knew we had to end. Once we had the babies, like she had two and then just me having one, like I gave birth on, you know, on camera. But the thing is they had props up. So it was still just three of us in the room. But I remember the feeling when I was brought my son home. And just one little camera being in there, I hated it.
Yeah.
It's like,
I'd imagine.
Yeah.
I couldn't. It was just, didn't feel right.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah. It's like a very personal space.
Yeah.
When you have a newborn child, and it's like, you feel like, I don't know, maybe you didn't feel this way, but from the outside, it would seem like with a camera crew in there with your newborn, it's like commercializing your child already. It's like, this is good bonding time. I want to have just.
100%.
100%.
Exactly. That's exactly how I felt.
Yeah.
And then getting, when you get your fights, like relationship fights, like we have to relive them again. They always cause another argument. Like, it's, we're arguing about this again, but it's because you're rewatching it and you're like, shit.
You do watch What Happens Live to each other after you watch the show.
Yeah.
You relitigate the whole thing.
And then the worst is you have to watch yourself. So then when you know you're wrong and you had to just watch yourself being wrong, but you were defending yourself being right, that's like the worst.
Yeah.
I had to do that a few seasons ago.
Or watching yourself back drunk. Was really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I was in a green screen one time, and they're like, so tell us how you came up with the song, How Did I Lose My Shoe? And I was like, what? What are you talking about? They're like, you rapped it in the UK. And I'm like, I did what? And they're like, get the footage. And I'm watching myself, and I'm like, I was blacked out.
Oh,
I had no idea.
That's
I
brutal.
Rapped this song about
it's
losing
become a
my
song.
Shoe.
I would have so much anxiety if somebody was just like replaying my drunkest moments to me.
Oh my gosh.
Like confirming every, like you wake up in the morning like, oh God, what did I do last night? Well, guess what? We've got four cameras that shot it in HD.
Yeah.
So here
could you imagine?
Imagine the drunk angry. I got that. That was the most humiliating rewatch, especially like my Spanx hanging out of my dress, like sloppy, angry, drunk.
Been there.
Yeah. Yep.
Would not want that.
Not great.
Would not want that. All right. So I had one last question. So the podcast is back. Who's the dream guest?
Oh my gosh. I would love Angelina Jolie to be on.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. I put her on the list. They're like, we'll see, Brie. And I'm like, she has a lot she needs to talk about and promote.
I think I would really love to have Mia Hamm.
Ooh.
Yes.
Also a good one.
Yeah, she's always been like my inspiration growing up. And I want to like
Even you, do you guys remember when she did all the Michael Jordan, her they for Nike
Anything
did all
I
those,
can do.
Yep. Yeah,
right, that campaign. Like, I want to like ask her about all that because think of the time that she did that. Like, Title IX was just trying to get passed.
Yeah,
like those were our soccer days, and she was like who I had up on my wall. So
yeah,
like,
the was it 98 World Cup? No.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
When they won in the Rose Bowl. Yeah, yeah.
Because
incredible.
We were 98. We were in
and you remember the
yeah.
big deal
seventh grade
when Brandi Chastain yeah. took her shirt off and she's in a sports bra now. Yeah. Everyone was like,
how
like,
dare
what?
It is kind of crazy to think that that was like a big deal. And now that was you a flash huge, forward
was,
to yeah. today.
It was a different world, too, because I remember they went on the Letterman show before the World Cup. And David Letterman was like, so this is kind of crazy. You guys are athletes, but you're hot. And it's like, whoa. Like, imagine if that happened like today, the way that team was covered. But I love watching women's soccer, especially in the United States, because, mm-hmm. one, we win.
Right,
we're actually really good.
It's fun.
And two, the women don't flop. The men are the one who are, they're always diving. They're faking injuries and shit out there. It gets annoying to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
But you'll never see a woman like pretend to get fouled when she didn't. I don't know what, what the disconnect there is.
That's actually true. I've actually never even thought about that. We actually met Alex Morgan and we were like super excited. And then she knew our wrestling and we were like, whoa, like it was really fun to talk to her
but it's,
for a while.
Yeah. It's, you know, women on a soccer field though, it's like there's this aggression that you have. And like the more you get hit, it's like the more fierce it makes you and the more, I don't know, it's something different on there.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
We want to have...
Mia Hamm, come on.
Yes, yeah, Mia Hamm, do it.
Yeah,
do it,
Mia
Hamm. Let's go.
We like guests that inspire our listeners. Especially like on the woman front. Mm-hmm. It's just, it,
you should
know,
have
it's
Dan Bilzerian on.
Who?
He'd be a great guest. You know Dan Bilzerian?
Maybe not.
Yeah. Look him up.
Oh, no. All right,
he's a good friend of ours.
So everyone can find, though, the Bella's podcast. It's on Stitcher, the SiriusXM Stitcher, the app, Pandora, anywhere you can find podcasts, and also YouTube. So check it out, the Bella's podcast. Become part of the Bella Army. We're going to take over the Swifties.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we are.
You guys, we can do this.
We can do this.
I promise you.
I don't think we can.
One song at a time.
I do not think we can, but
we can
try.
I think
we
can.
I got to warn you. I'm going to pretend that I'm in the Bella Army, but the second the Swifties enter the fray, I'm going to be the first guy running back.
You're going
to
have to
shoot
me.
I'm going to delete all my Twitter and Instagram the minute the Swifties come after me.
I need to go like check some of it. I thought they were real positive.
Oh, no.
Not anymore.
Go look at like Jamie Lee Curtis's Instagram.
She's cut your throat.
Jamie Lee Curtis posted a picture of the Gyllenhaal, Maggie and Jake, like, being like, hey, look at my godchildren. Aren't they lovely? And then the Swiftie army just attacked her Instagram page.
No.
Yeah. It was like, give Taylor careful. The fucking scarf
just be careful,
back,
okay?
Okay, really quick. Can I ask you guys, because I saw this. Is Jennifer Aniston, I saw her name get in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Did she take Jake away from Taylor or something?
Oh, I don't know.
Did you hear about the bathroom
thing?
I think we've said too much.
I think I'm team Jennifer. Jennifer's a goat.
Well,
supposedly the Swifties right now, I mean...
They're just looking for anybody. It's
going
like
going after Aniston.
They're coming for next.
Yeah, if you're a Swiftie, it's like either you're with us or you're against us. If you're not actively pro Swift, they assume that you're anti.
Correct. Shit, I might leave the Bella Army and go to the Swifties.
Yeah, it would be a smart move.
Yes,
does
it would.
Taylor
move.
Sorry, Bella acknowledge Army. This?
I don't think so. I don't think she acknowledges it, but I think she probably is happy that she has such a loyal fan base.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Always great to have you on.
Yeah.
And anytime you're in town, please make sure you send us a bottle of the
Stomped on Wine.
Stomped on Wine with the picture of your feet. Perfect. Not that we want it, but I want to just be acknowledged for that. Is like $1 billion idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just so you
know. We'll put your face on the back.
A lot of creeps out there that want that.
Yeah.
Not me. Not again, not me. Not PFT, but a lot of creeps. All right. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, wrap it up. Numbers. Thank you to the Bella Twins. Thank you to Frank Gore.
8.
Numbers.
69.
6. 18.
97.
I did a little wishy-washy beforehand.
I took 6 every time.
Oh, yeah. Jake,
hopefully.
Jake violated
the
same.
16.
He fisted the machine.
No, that's actually good because we need a little, see if we get a new number in here. 97. Oh, 85. Hand of the Bears.
Ocho Cinco.
How many times?
Fourth time.
Crocodiles' bite force only applies to when they're closing their mouth. They're actually very weak at opening their mouth.
Mm.
That's actually something that could save your life one day.
Yes, absolutely.
And alligators.
Love you guys.
day to find you shying away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? Shying away. Oh, I'll be coming for your love, okay? 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 Take on. Better to be safe than sorry. Say up to me. Oh, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Take on me. Coming for you anyway. You're shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway.